Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday. It's June 21st. And good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, President Trump signed an executive order on Wednesday to solve the issue of family separation at the border. The policy keeps in place key components of the administration's zero tolerance policy of prosecuting illegal border crossings along the U.S.-Mexican border. While the administration will continue prosecuting crimes of improper entry, the administration will maintain family unity, including detaining families together where appropriate and consistent with law and available resources. In a shift from previous policy, families will now be held together during the process of prosecution and deportation at the border. President Trump said that he didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated. He later told reporters that his daughter Ivanka and First Lady Melania both felt strongly about images of young children being separated from their families at the border, saying anybody with a heart would feel strongly about it. Yesterday's executive order does not address the 2,300 children who were already taken from their parents and placed in detention facilities all over the country. President Trump noted that the administration would still be working with Congress to find a legislative fix to the immigration problem. The Bethlehem Fire Department's bomb squad was called to a self-storage facility Wednesday. There were reports that a cache of explosive devices were discovered in a storage locker at the Dreamers self-storage facility on Hellertown Road. Authorities ordered the evacuation of nearby homes after lawmen observed what they called potential explosive devices inside of the storage facility. The devices are being examined by the bomb squad and the ATF. It was just last Thursday when the Lehigh Valley and Bucks County experienced its most recent explosion when a municipal lawnmower ran over an explosive device in Milford Township, and there have been at least 20 mysterious blasts in the region since early April, and they're thinking that this may be connected.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, this is an ever-mounting conundrum here, but yeah, if this is it, I'm when they eventually find out who's doing this, I got to see the profile on this person
and
what the reason is.
Yeah, and they had talked to, I saw it on ABC this morning, and they talked to the woman who owned the storage facility,
yeah.
And she said she just got a call saying, hey, we're coming there, we have to search. There may be somebody who's using, you know, one of your storage spaces for, you know, for illegal, you know, items or whatever it was. But so it wasn't like there, something had happened. So I guess, you know, maybe this is part of their investigation, and they were able to kind of track it to there, which is good.
Have you ever had a storage space like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. And sometimes when you go to pick up stuff, there'll be guys there with the, you know, the I had an outdoor one with the garage door up. Mm-hmm. And I saw one guy one time with, there seemed to be a whole bunch of containers of chemicals and stuff or things that he was storing. I said, it was fine. But you're like, what's that about?
Yeah.
You know? And because honestly, when you're there, it's your space. You could close the door down and do whatever you wanted to do.
Sure.
If you, that show where they go and they would go to the
storage wars.
Yeah. Yeah. The stuff they find in those things is crazy.
Yeah. So most of it's garbage.
Yeah.
And now and then they come across something. Yeah. When we were going to move and we wanted to make our home look a little more roomy, we put a whole bunch of stuff in storage. Yeah. For the time being, to make the house look a little less cluttery and so on. But
could you live there? I mean, could you?
You could in some of the.
It'd be hard to pull it off.
But people have.
I mean, because there are people that work there, and they see you come in, and you never leave.
Morning!
Yeah, how you doing? You come out in your bathrobe.
A little cold out there, huh?
So you're not allowed
to. How about
to
those frills, huh?
No, you are not allowed
to. No.
Okay.
I wonder if people, you know, like family members after they pass away, you know, and whatever the contents are left to them, and you have to go there and go through it all.
That's a process, yeah. My wife was furious about, because we were in this house in Manayunk, which was smaller, and we had to keep one. We couldn't store, you know, you have no option. You got to store someplace.
Yep.
And they hit you up for a chunk of change every month.
They can be expensive.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know, I kind of always thought that they were on the cheaper side.
No.
So they really...
It depends on what you want. Like, we had to get one that was temperature controlled recently for some charity stuff that we keep.
That was more expensive.
Yeah. But the square footage, it's more expensive than you think it is. Like a 10 by 10 is going to cost you more than $100 a month.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yep.
Oh, wow.
That adds up real quick.
When I moved about 3 years ago, it was about $120 a month.
Yeah.
And it was one that big. Yeah.
Was it a temp controlled one?
I don't remember, but, it was big enough to have a lot of stuff in there. And, it was, you know, it's worth it. I mean, they are really convenient.
And especially though, they really hit you if you're going to store nitroglycerin.
Yes.
Well, that's what I was doing.
I mean, it's several boxes.
Yeah.
Hang on a second here. Somebody said, text says, a friend of mine lived in a storage trailer. Oh, it's a trailer.
Okay.
Down by Front Street in Philadelphia, he had a gym membership to be able to shower.
That's what I was thinking. I'm
but
like,
that's
okay.
That's a trailer. That's, yeah. That's a little bit different. You can park that, and if you're discreet about it, nobody sees you coming in and out.
Morning!
You might be able to get away with it. But if it's usually a case, those storage facilities, there's a gate you have to go through, a security
yes.
gate that
yeah.
you have to go
yeah.
through.
You punch in the code, and there are security cameras around,
you
obviously.
You see if I can get away with it for a month?
Do it!
All right.
Let's do it.
Set you up. I'm sure Diane would love that.
Mm-hmm. At least a week.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm sure we'll find out later today if this is connected at all to the explosions that have been happening in Bucks and Lehigh counties. Falls Township Police said a 12-year-old girl was walking along quiet, shaded Thornridge Drive in Levittown Tuesday afternoon when an older gray minivan slowed down beside her. The driver was described as light-skinned, 35 to 45 years old, with shoulder-length brown hair. In a deep voice, he reportedly asked the girl if she wanted to see the dogs in the back of his car. She said she could hear a dog barking from inside and saw a small dog up front, but knew enough to quickly walk away and walk over to a house. The man then drove off. About an hour later, in another quiet neighborhood in Warminster, near Van Horn and Hart Streets, a 13-year-old girl saw a man who smiled at her. She said that she thought she recognized him, so she approached the vehicle to say hello, and as she got close enough, she saw that the man's pants were down and that his genitals were exposed.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Warminster Police Chief Jim Donnelly said the man is described maybe in his 70s or 80s with white hair. At that time of the incident, he was wearing a white T-shirt and driving a four-door sedan. Then at about 10 o'clock Tuesday night at the Wawa on Davisville Road in Warminster, police say a man in his 50s with short hair and freckles approached a young girl. He spoke to her in an inappropriate way, made some suggestive comments, said Donnelly. The girl quickly told a family friend who was inside the Wawa. The man left in what was described as a greenish silver sedan. Donnelly is asking anyone who might have any information about any of these incidents to call Warminster detectives.
Front Street. Yeah.
Perverts running
right.
around.
Right. Take yeah. a pack of pervs out yeah. for thrills.
And like, you know, quickly in a short amount of time, three different incidents.
I wonder on any given day how many of these are reported, you know, the cops' experiences and how many actually make the news.
And at what age, I mean, how old were these girls? Can you give them mace, you know, something?
Yeah, right.
12, probably 13, not advisable, case. Yeah, if they're, you know. Walking around with mace.
If they're a minor, probably. I don't know. I have no idea what the rules are.
What? If they're a minor, they can't carry mace?
Having mace, pepper spray, something like that? Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
Because they have, you know, like, I mean, I had
you
carried
can give
one
a
for
medieval
a
mace.
No, yeah. like, I carried one. It was like in, you know, it was just like a tiny little purse one. You'd throw
when
it in
you
purse.
Were when you were younger? When you were like a teenager?
Probably. Not as a college, teenager, yeah. no. But like college, yeah. My mom, I think my mom got it for me, like in my care package. And she was like, here, take this with you, you know, and I carried it around for a while in my purse.
Yeah,
until
no,
it exploded.
A good idea.
And I got it in my eye, and then I got
Are
rid
you
of it.
Serious? Yeah. Did it blow up in your purse?
It might like it didn't blow up, but I guess
it leaked
out.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that happened with my mother years ago. She got this is going to be great, and it did. It leaked in the purse. She opened it up and started gushing tears.
Yeah, so I got it like on my hand, and I was like, geez, what is that? And then I, you know, didn't think anything of it, and I must have touched my eye, and then I was like, oh my God, this stuff works.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a home run.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful product.
But I wonder if, let's say I gave my daughter both of my daughters mace, and they took it to school, not to... They would probably get in trouble,
yes.
Right?
School, yes.
They I'm going to guess they don't allow pepper spray and mace in your school, Case.
Yeah. Oh, I listen, don't talk to me
but
like I'm an idiot. But like,
it's not a weapon.
It's not a weapon, but it's a mean of self-defense. But like, if it was in their backpack...
I can't imagine any school would allow a child to bring mace in.
Yeah. Try it out next year.
Yeah. Hold on. We'll ask the principals that we know. We'll see if they're allowed to do that. All right, let's do sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
Odubel Herrera went 3-for-4, hit another home run, and has now hit a homer in 4 straight games. The Phillies beat the St. Louis Cardinals 4-3 yesterday afternoon at the ballpark.
They did it!
The Phil's bullpen threw 3 scoreless innings after Jake Arrieta started but wasn't able to get the win. Edubray Ramos got 5 outs, and Adam Morgan retired the last 2 batters with the tying run on second for his first career save. Following this quick homestand, the Phil's are off today before heading back out on the road with a weekend series against the Nationals in Washington. During Monday night's game, the Philly Fanatic launched hot dogs into the stands behind home plate. One of the hot dogs struck Kathy McVeigh in the face, and she underwent a CT scan to make sure that she didn't have a concussion, according according to 6ABC, because she already had a shoulder injury and will require surgery. McVeigh was unable to catch or deflect the hot dog, which was wrapped in duct tape so that it wouldn't disintegrate while in the air. McVeigh, who says she's a big fan of the team and doesn't plan legal action, said the hot dog knocked her glasses off and she's now applying ice to her facial injury every 20 minutes.
When I heard this, I was like, oh, it's a hot dog. Then I saw her face.
I know.
She's bruised up.
Oh, she got a shiner.
Yeah.
Big time. Yep.
At the World Cup yesterday, there were three games and they all ended in a final score of 1-0. Portugal beat Morocco. Uruguay beat Saudi Arabia. And Spain beat Iran. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Casey's been shot by that hot dog gun before. They come out with some serious force.
Yeah, a little velocity there.
We did that for a month of stunts, right?
Right. Was that was year one or year two?
It was year one. It might have been. I think you're right. You're at
no.
What, about 20 feet away? They shot you in the nuts.
Yeah,
that's right.
The footage of the fanatic after that is just so great.
What did he do? I don't remember.
He came over. You were hunched over.
I was hunched over. I amped it up a little bit. But, you know, he obviously doesn't say anything, but, you know, he's got this look of concern.
Yeah.
And then he, like, waves somebody over to help. Oh, it was good. It was really, really good.
But getting clocks with that in the face, you saw the footage. You know, she's got, as you said, Preston, she got a shiner.
Well, apparently I was reading they duct tape it so the hot dog holds together, so that gives a little more, you know, density to it.
Yeah.
And boom, nailed her right in the face. But I'm glad she's not suing and she gets it. It was an accident.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Cool. So, all right. Well, anyhow, welcome to Thursday Morning Preston and Steve Show. And I want to remind you that we have a couple of things that are pending. Today's the last day of voting for Philly's Hottest.
Yes.
This is it. Daisy Dukes and Cowboy Boots. And you can place your vote. It's not too late. You can go to PrestonandSteve.com. You can do that very thing. Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters and Cowtown Rodeo sponsor, as well as Steven Singer Jewelers and Allison Dunlap Photography. So let's find out who you think is indeed worthy. That's the word I'm looking for.
Worthy.
Not weary. I almost said weary of the
who
title.
Who is weary of this title?
Who is worthy of
at
the title?
At this point, we are.
Of Philly's Hottest. Exactly. I think we're weary of the title. So let's make sure that you do vote now for that. We also have a trip to Paris, and we're going to give it away tomorrow. You'll need today's letter, and that's for the premiere of Mission Impossible Fallout. So
I think
we want you to have a chance to win that.
The first time in our 20 years on air that we've ever sent someone to Paris, correct?
I believe that is the case. So listen up. Today is next last day in order for you to win that. And we also have guest on the program. It will be Ryan Hamilton, who's going to be at Punchline Philly tonight, Friday and Saturday. So he is going to be stopping in around 9 o'clock or so. So those things and more. And I'm sure we got a lot of stuff to give away. Some Dropkick Murphy tickets for that show tonight, by the way.
First
day of summer.
Yes.
And they have the new Yards IPA that they're going to be selling only there. We had the announcement yesterday. So I'll dig into the prize bag and see what all we can give to you. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second, and we'll start the giveaways with the stupid question as well as our entertainment report. You know the drill. Back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait a minute. We have a Thunder Road in the area?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Every time I say it, you say that.
And I've asked that question
yeah,
before?
Yeah, you know what? It's out in Trenton. It's, hold on.
By the stadium.
Yeah.
It's the Trenton Stadium.
Oh, the Trenton Thunder.
The Trenton Thunder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thunder Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like it's put on the screen, on my screen as Cass Street or Thunder Road. And I said Thunder Road once and you guys loved it. So.
Okay.
But I just go with that.
Actually, no, the road that goes by the stadium and then goes by the river, it's actually really pretty over there.
Oh, yeah.
Just outside of Trenton.
Window slam.
It's a great stadium if you're into minor
Kathy
league baseball.
Desert
at all,
traffic. You is it beautiful? There. Is it like a real?
It's right on the
deal?
River. It's Trenton Thunder are the AA team for the Yankees, so occasionally you get an up and coming star or somebody who's on the way down.
And don't they have a dog that is the bat boy?
What?
I forget.
The dog will come out and retrieve the bat
really?
From the, I think
oh my
so.
God. My eyes are being opened up.
Trenton Thunder, I'm not sure.
That is cool. You know, traditionally,
they have to check on that.
There are thunder roads throughout the country, but they're usually desolate, horrible roads.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not where a dog will retrieve a bat.
Come on, man. I may be off on that, but I thought I saw a news story about that one time. Kathy, you looking that up?
Yeah, I think you're correct.
Oh, okay. All right.
Love this song.
Yeah, it is a great
song. I think it's going to be a hit.
It was hit.
Oh, well, then I'm right.
All right, so we're going to do a stupid question, and we're going to give away a $50 gift certificate for Baking Me Crazy on Main Street in Phoenixville. And the question I have for you this morning, in which English county is Sherwood Forest located?
Ah, I think it's Delco.
No, it's not Delco.
Are you sure?
Or we'll find out next week.
Yeah. Or maybe it
Buzz
is.
Go versus Delco.
You know where it is?
In which English county is Sherwood Forest located? 215-263-WMMR. By the way, speaking of Delco, have to put this out there. I'm going to say it several times today. I was getting stuff ready for Bucksco versus Delco. And, of course, you guys, it's no secret that we will have some trivia involved in this.
Right.
We are seriously lacking on Delco trivia. We got tons of Bucks County trivia.
What, like from listeners?
Yeah, yes, from listeners. Yes. We solicited weeks and weeks ago, like a month or two ago.
The process has been there, and the idea is to get as much as we can to vet it properly.
So are you saying that Bucks County supports the show more, right?
There's
I'm just saying they have nothing else to do.
There's much more going on in Bucks County than there is in Delaware.
Right, there's a lot more to do there.
So we need information. And Nick, where do they send the questions? By the way, we need Delaware County residents to send us Delaware County questions. And then we have a panel of Delaware County residents that work here that are going through these to make sure they're valid. Now, I don't know if that means that they went through a bunch of other questions and they realized that a bunch of them were garbage, or we just didn't get that many because we have multiple people that are helping out with this.
There was a percentage that, from what I understand, that we're not quite up to snuff, and we want them to be fair.
So you sent out an email, and I knew you guys were looking for Delaware County questions, and when I saw the email, I'm like, if they're doing this, because you complained so much last time that his questions were not...
There just weren't enough.
All right,
so...
By the way, that's a teaser of what you're going to see next week, this kind of back and forth.
I just hope I'm getting the same consideration if you're going out of your way.
Well, I was
to make cranky pants happen.
I was beating you after that.
Just let him go.
Yes, sure.
Hey, listen, send your questions to Nick, right?
I don't know. That's what I'm going to find out. Nick?
Delco@WMMR.com.
Delco@WMMR.com.
And make sure you BCC me the question.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Those will be automatically disqualified.
Because you hear what a bitch Kathy is. Do you really want her winning again?
All right. Delco@WMMR.com. Send those questions in, and then we will try to verify them.
By the way, as we go through all of this, I think you, Preston, would have a future in game creation.
You think so?
Yes. Because you got to see how excited Preston gets putting games together. And you're really good at it.
Well, thank you. I've done it for a long time. I've done, you know, bar games and all this stuff. Pierre talks about the variety. I've just collected ideas, and I like them. I think it's fun, but you do have to sit down. You have to think them through. You have to think about what if this scenario happens? What if that scenario happens? How do you get out?
But you have that ability to do that. I would never think of the nuance that you will think of. I've addressing a con because you play games. You love games. I don't.
I've had enough of them fail to realize if you don't cover
you
your
know
bases.
How to,
so.
Right.
But anyhow, we're getting them ready for next week, and you need to send the questions to Delco@WMMR.com, and I will reiterate that through the morning. Okay, so anyhow, I have a lot of birthdays. I'm going to zip right through them, guys, so don't worry about music and stuff, Casey. Brandon Flowers of The Killers is 37 today.
He's good.
Mike Einzinger of Incubus, guitarist, he's 42.
He's good.
Joey Kramer, drummer for Aerosmith, is 68 years old today.
He's good, too.
How about Kip Winger, Steve?
Ah, Kip Winger.
Of the band Winger.
Kip Winger has no canine teeth.
Yes, they're all
right across.
They're incisors,
really,
all the way around. Even his molars.
Even
are
his
incisors.
Molars are incisors.
He's got a flawless smile.
He does.
But he's 57 today. Two people that were in our studio not that long ago: Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross.
Yeah. Was that not a blast?
That was so cool. The Keatons, having them both here, and they were very lovely, sweet people.
And they interacted the way a married couple would interact, even though they're not married.
Yep.
And the affair just started up again. And remember, when he was here, he talked about playing a little role on that, and he's in the very first episode.
Excellent.
Nice. Yeah.
So they're both 71 years old today. So happy birthday to you guys. Also, the creator of Bloom County, Burke Brevid.
Were you a fan?
I loved Bloom County. It was probably one of my favorite.
The penguin? Was there a penguin in there?
Yeah. Bill the cat and the penguin.
Opus.
Thank you. It's been a while since I've read it, but I always loved it. So he's 61 today. Steve, Bernie Capel.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Adam Bricker from The Love Boat.
Who I think throughout the course of the run of The Love Boat raped a couple of thousand passengers.
Wow, dude. They did position him as the lover.
If you watch the show, and I do because I love it, it's so unbelievably hokey.
Uh-huh.
The crew spends all of their time banging the passengers, except for Captain Steubing.
Yeah. So he is, and Vicky, the daughter, probably.
Vicky, the daughter, not a lot.
So he's 85 today.
Do you know what role I liked him really? He used to play on Get Smart.
Yeah.
I remember. He was the, what was his name?
I don't remember what character he played, but I remember him on there.
Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart, but he's very funny.
Yeah. So we also have Juliette Lewis. She's been by here before. Cape Fear, Natural Born Killers, Wayward Pines, we liked her in. She's 45 today. It is Prince William's birthday. Heir to the British throne. And he is turning 36 years old today.
And they just called a super hot sister-in-law.
Yes, he did. Absolutely. So he is having a big soiree, I would imagine.
Kate Middleton, nothing to sneeze at.
No, she's wonderful. So happy birthday to Prince William, 36 today. It's our buddy Jim Brewer's birthday.
Yeah.
Jim is 51 years old today, and the next time he'll be in our area will be at the Metallica show for MMR's big 50th birthday.
Not a traditional opening act. He's actually going to sort of put on a quasi-game show around the venue, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does.
It's a great idea. I wonder how it's going to play out.
We'll see,
but Brewer's such a... He commands the mic when he's got it. There will be no choice but to have a good time with him.
Dude, Brewer.
Yeah,
dude, Brewer.
What are you talking about?
Dude, what are you talking about?
Now, I am a fan of the flesh, as it were. What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
We thought Brewer was Mr. Skin.
He's 51 today. Then you have Lana Wachowski, one of the Wachowskis that created The Matrix and so forth. And now... formerly known as Larry Wachowski,
he had
a sex change.
Both brothers had sex changes.
Yeah. So, and they're twins. I'm sorry, because it would be celebrating their birthday today. They would be celebrating the same birthday, and that's not the case. But they are brothers, and they're both, trans now. And she is celebrating her 53rd birthday today, Lana Wachowski. And the last birthday is, Steve, you'll know this guy, Joe Flaherty,
yes,
who is on SCTV.
One of the best.
He played Count Floyd, and he's been in tons of movies, like in Happy Gilmore. He's the jackass guy.
That's him.
He's the Western Union guy at the end of Back to the Future 2.
That is correct. Yep.
And he's one of the funniest improvisational actors and one of the superstars of SCTV.
Yep, so he's 77 years old today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the question. In which English county is Sherwood Forest located? 215-263-WMMR, our number, and I will go to Chris for the answer. Hello there, Chris.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. What's the answer? Where's Sherwood Forest?
Nottinghamshire.
Stands to reason, right?
You got it, Chris, yeah. Not just Nottinghamshire. And we're going to give you a $50 gift certificate for Bakin' Me Crazy, located on Main Street in Phoenixville. You can stop in Monday through Friday and mention Rock, and you receive free coffee and 10% off your meal, not to be combined with gift certificates or any other offers. We have a lot to get to, so let's get started. Tommy Lee is getting married on Valentine's Day of next year and wants everyone to feel the love, even his estranged son, Brandon, who he still wants at his wedding. Sources close to Tommy tell TMZ he's planning on sending an invite to his eldest despite their drama over Father's Day. I'll believe it when I see it. Tommy called his sons a-holes and said they didn't value things. And then Brandon called Tommy an absentee father and posted a video of Tommy knocked out in March after their fight.
I don't know where I stand on this because there are people in both camps that are saying both sides are right. The real tragedy here is you have a father and a son.
Yep.
Can they can they put it behind them and move forward?
It's, Steve, it's hard to say, too. I go back and forth. I don't know who's right and who's wrong in this particular scenario. Sources say Tommy's hoping that time heals all wounds with his wedding to Brittany Furlan, still months away. Sources also say Tommy thought that he and Brandon put the KO behind them when he decided not to press charges, but TMZ's told Tommy only resorted to airing out their feud on social media because Brandon has blocked his number and emails as well. Whether or not that comes to pass, we shall see. Justin Theroux, he's on the cover of Men's Health magazine, the July-August issue. That dude is in, he's cut
He's up. In great shape.
He's in wonderful shape, so that's why he's on the cover of Men's Health. But he opened up about his work in Hollywood, how he still combats low self-esteem despite his success, and shared his tactics for turning a bad situation around. The 46-year-old, who split from Jennifer Aniston in February, admits that he uses his lack of confidence to his advantage.
How?
He said, I think doubt is a good thing. We're all doubting whether we set out to do anything new, but that's a motivating factor to try to make it good. It's destructive if you let it creep over the entire process, but I don't dwell.
So, Case, you watched the show he was on.
The Leftovers, yeah.
Right, so is his hair naturally that black? It's got to be dyed black. No one has hair that black.
Yeah.
Maybe,
right?
I don't know.
He also says,
I don't like it.
He sometimes just pretends that I'm not doubting myself. He also admits that sometimes bad things just happen. When I do things I don't necessarily want to do, or I get stuck in a situation where I'm like, oh, this is not the best choice, I'm still aware there's something to be gleaned from that experience. You have to just find some nugget that makes it worthwhile. Otherwise, you'll completely give up.
What?
He also explained his giant back tattoo. He said, I don't put a lot of thought into mine. He said, I'll go in. And, like, what should we do? I don't know. What do you want to do? So it's kind of when the mood strikes. So,
what is his big back tattoo?
I've seen before, Steve, and I don't remember. I didn't look it
up. Is it as good as Ben Affleck's Phoenix?
I guess it's... I think it's just a mishmash of stuff if they keep adding to it. He says he just goes in and says, hey, what do you want to do today?
I think it's all the characters from Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. No, Nick pulled it up. There's a giant bird. There's a whole lot of stuff. And it's all black and white, so there's it looks like there's a dragon on it and all that.
Right.
So anyhow, he adds to it. So let's go to the Kardashian clan.
Oh, the happiest time.
The new baby, True, met her cousins for the first time when Khloe and Tristan flew her from their home based in Cleveland to Khloe's hometown in L.A. over Father's Day weekend.
I brought the baby.
Sister Kim,
he was a little fussy on the plane.
Told Access Hollywood that she reported to Khloe HQ as soon as she arrived. She said, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
They came back on Sunday and I just piled the kids. This is Kim talking. In the car and took them to meet their cousin. To meet their cousin True, and it was a love fest.
Oh.
She admits that the entire Kardashian clan descended. Let's see here.
What the hell did they do? Did they get like the whole family was there for the baby?
I guess. First,
how
it
exciting!
Was, first it was Courtney and all her kids, then me and all of my kids, and then my mom, Kylie. It was just like everyone was coming over to see the baby and wanted to introduce my kids to their new little cousin. Of course, it was. She didn't mention Tristan.
Let me guess. Were there cameras around?
You know what? I don't know. I had to have been.
My guess is there were.
But Khloe and Tristan seemed to be doing okay. Not only did he join her on the jaunt to L.A., but the pair went on a double date with Kendall Jenner and her rumored love interest, Ben Simmons, on Monday night.
So Kendall Jenner and Ben Simmons went out with Khloe?
No, they went out with, with Khloe and Tristan, yes.
Let's go on a double date.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wait a second. Can we bring True?
Kim also took to social Tuesday night to post scantily clad shots of herself packing, which seems like a uniquely Kardashian method of procrastination.
Who wants to watch me pack, boys?
To be determined if she...
I have some fudge. Do you want to pack it?
Consulted her fashion designer, rapper husband Kanye... As she told a panel at the Business of Fashion West Summit in L.A., he told her that she had the worst style when they first got together.
Ah, that's a great story. You know,
isn't it, though?
Wait, who told who?
Kanye told Kim.
It's hard to keep up with it, right?
And then she goes on to say, he was really nice about it and cleaned out my whole closet. I probably had 250 pairs of shoes, and when we were done cleaning it out, I had two pairs left, and I cried.
Oh, man. That poor thing.
Poor thing.
The stories are just riveting.
Chloe also spent...
She's like the Imelda Marcos of America.
Chloe spent some time on social posting a workout shot of herself and copping to her hungover state.
How many selfies do you think the family as a whole generates per day?
So, I don't know.
And I know today is National Selfie Day.
It is, actually.
It is?
It is. Yes. Yeah. We'll get into the details of that in a little while. But
I mean, on any given day between Instagram and Twitter, how many pictures does the family post to themselves?
Not just how many they post. Think about how many they go through to make sure that they're absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
they have social. Each one of them has a social media team that vets the pictures, brushes them up, and then sends them out.
But
not without their approval.
Not without their approval.
There's no way, though. They've got to go through it, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd love to see how many are deleted.
Right?
For the one that they use.
Because I've taken pictures of me packing. And then I got rid of them.
But they'll have to sit there and take them themselves for it to be a real selfie. Yeah. You'll see their hand and so forth. So though I bet they take just tons and tons.
Tons
of them. Moving on. Kristen Wiig has departed Apple's upcoming comedy series, which she was attached to star in and executive produce because of the scheduling conflict with Wonder Woman. The Untitled Half Project, inspired by Curtis Sittenfeld's short story collection called You Think It, I'll Say It, is currently on hold as Apple and the producers evaluate their options, including proceeding with a different actress.
So she's playing Cheetah, I believe, right?
Yes. So Apple closed a deal for a straight-to-series order to the comedy from Reese Witherspoon's Hello Sunshine in early January. 2 months later, Wiig was cast as the villain in the upcoming Wonder Woman sequel. Her obligations to the tentpole feature in which she plays Cheetah made her unavailable to do the Apple series in the time frame designated for it, as the multi-hyphenate also has other projects on her plate. She's very busy.
So Cheetah is in powers and ability sort of the equal of Wonder Woman?
I think so.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. I didn't follow the Wonder Woman comic, so I looked it up when they first announced her, and it seemed like it. I don't remember all her powers.
Yeah, a strong adversary.
Yep. So she's going to be focusing on that. Publishing heiress Patty Hearst is gunning for her son-in-law amid allegations from ex-Chloe Dykstra that Chris Hardwick abused her. That's her son-in-law.
Yes.
So Hearst took to Twitter to share a YouTube video featuring Dykstra proclaiming her love for Hardwick. Proclaiming.
The same thing. We're the only ones who get it, but it was fun.
It's okay. Yeah. She wrote, silly me, until today I only used YouTube to look at naughty kittens, water skiing squirrels, and skateboarding dogs. And then I performed a very simple search. Wait for it. It gets especially interesting at 5:40. Meaning the time on the YouTube video. Hardwick is married to Hearst's daughter, Lydia. Dykstra posted the video on March 28, 2013, after emergency surgery from an ectopic pregnancy. And she thanks him for being an amazing, loving, and sweet boyfriend.
Well, that stands in contradiction to what she says in her post. So in her blog post about this guy she does not name, she says that he was really kind of horrible during the pregnancy, right?
Yeah. I think it's probably more complicated than just this.
Yeah.
But
so, by the way, yeah, people don't know that Chris Hardwick married into Hearst money.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, so it's got to be one of two things. Either this dude is just an evil mastermind prick, or she's an evil mastermind bitch.
Or like, it falls somewhere in between, like a relationship that didn't work out.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody's evil in this scenario.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, Keith. Not really sure, but it's playing
usually
out.
The one with the dwarf.
That is evil?
Yeah.
Okay. Divorce is expensive for Grey's Anatomy star Jesse Williams. A judge has ruled that Williams must pay ex Aaron Drake Lee $50,000 per month in spousal and child support, adding up to $100 per month.
$100,000.
And how does that add up to $100,000?
$50,000 for alimony and $50,000 for child support.
Gotcha. The judge cited Williams' extraordinarily high monthly salary of $521,000 as a reason, per TMZ. Williams filed for divorce from Drake Lee in April of 2017. After 5 years of marriage, they shared two children, Maceo and Sadie.
So he went on to Minka Kelly, and then he went on to this ESPN anchor who's very attractive, as you would well imagine. Mm-hmm. But he's been on Grey's Anatomy, and he's not, you know, he's a star on the show, but he's not super rich.
That's a chunk of change.
He makes $500,000 a month.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's doing okay. Prince Louis will be christened on Monday, July 9th. Prince William and Kate Middleton shared the happy news via Kensington Palace. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are pleased to announce the christening of Prince Louis, the palace said in a statement. The service will be conducted by the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend Justin Welby. That's what they call him, Most Reverend?
Yes.
The Most Reverend Justin Welby.
They had tried to get the guy who's looking to purchase the plane, Preston, but...
Jesse Duplantis?
Jesse Duplantis, yeah. He was unavailable.
He christened both George and Charlotte, by the way. Not Jesse Duplantis, the Most Reverend Justin Welby did.
Let me tell you something. I got to get over to England, and if I can do it without stopping, that would be the best scenario.
You don't want to sit with human filth on a regular
If you've ever gotten on a commercial flight and seen the absolute filth that's getting on with you, the human refuse and garbage, it is disgusting. I need to go out and preach the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
So please. And it's so distracting when you have this human filth surrounding you.
Please help him believe for that new jet. Naomi Campbell is working to give new fashion designers a leg up at a Cannes Lions panel on Wednesday. She said...
Cannes from Star Trek?
No. Cannes, the city in France.
Oh.
Cannes, however you want to say it. She said, I want to do a platform because not everyone can go to these big fashion weeks around the world and put money into showing their product. She also said that she wants to prioritize inclusivity. She said, what matters in my legacy that I leave is that I've done enough for models of color and diversity.
Well, that is just phenomenal.
Is it, though? How about this? I love this
show. She wants to have a runway show everywhere in the world.
Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Tom Hanks' parties sound like they'd be a lot of fun, but they're definitely unique. On Jimmy Kimmel Live Tuesday, the host recalled how the three got together with another pal, a guy named Walter Parks, and they had a colonoscopy party.
They all had colonoscopies.
Martin, who is 72, said, we thought everybody at our age, a certain age, you want to get a colonoscopy. So we all came over, we played poker, we watched some funny movies, and you drink all this stuff.
Yeah.
So they did it to drink all the necessary. You have to clean, you got to clean yourself out. And you do it the day before, and it sucks, but they wanted to do it together.
Have you guys watched the Netflix special with
Just
Martin?
Just a little part of it. Yeah. An evening you'll forget for the rest of your life.
Yeah, with Steve Martin and Martin Short. It's their show, their traveling show. And a lot of it's scripted, but it's also a little improv between the two of them. And it's just, you can see the love between these two men, and it's really entertaining. I recommend it.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
Martin Short makes Steve Martin laugh his ass off. That's all you need to know.
And they talk about Chevy Chase a lot in because of the Three Amigos. And I thought maybe they would do so in a way that was a little derisive, but they don't. They talked to him about him in a nice way.
No. Yeah, they actually really did. You know, they all do get along.
Okay.
Yeah. Steve, Bachelor in Paradise is almost here.
Yeah!
ABC announced the premiere date for season 5 on Wednesday.
By the way, I never watch it, but I just like screaming about it.
I like the idea about it. Because they love each other on there.
Love you.
Another.
Look, a conch shell.
Another. They're walking along the beach.
Look, a starfish.
Yeah.
Stars are in the sky.
This is the one that generated that. With the woman, they got so plastered and they didn't know if there was video of them banging in the pool. And,
right.
I mean, this is meant to be Sodom and Gomorrah.
Another season of drama, romance, therapy sessions, and wine.
The jellyfish
will arrive.
Do you think there are peanut butter fishes?
I mean, the dumbest, the guys who are not intellectually stable enough to be on The Regular Bachelor.
Peanut butter and jellyfishes.
That would be good.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't trade that at the underwater cafeteria.
I will arrive on Tuesday, August 7th at 8 p.m., the day after the finale of Becca Cuffrin's season of The Bachelorette Lands.
This Becca Cuffrin version they thought would be bigger ratings-wise because she was the one that was
picked
and then dumped.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently the roster of bachelors is just a bunch of idiots.
After its premiere, ABC will air
Bachelor in Paradise episodes on Mondays and Tuesdays at 8 p.m. The cast will be announced soon. So they're getting ready to reveal who's going to be on board for the show. I'm curious what you guys will think of this and what actually anybody will watch or not, but it's another reality show. But ABC is going to offer audiences its own spin on CBS's Survivor with a show that features contestants on islets in the South Pacific with snippets of their real life back home. Now, it's called Castaways, and it actually has kind of a Lost vibe to it. So it's going to separate its cast on different islets. Contestants will soon learn there are others out there, but won't know just how many. So they think they're going to be by themselves, but there's actually other people involved.
So it's like a chain of islands that they're going to be at. So then they're going to be quote-unquote stranded.
I don't know what's going to happen with these other people and how the contests are going to work out, but they will simulate disaster scenarios featuring abandoned structures and scarce resources to be determined if there's any prize component to it or not. But, they're trying to find a twist on the Survivor type of show.
They did a show that was it was a faux, like a found footage reality show a couple of years ago. Watching it.
It was sort of like Lost as a reality show.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I actually got into it. And then, of course, they canceled it. And, you know, just to get into the complex, and you're like, okay, what's it about? And they canceled the goddamn series. All right, maybe.
Yeah,
but
I don't
this
know.
Is the kind of thing like Joe Millionaire. You can only make it work once. Because
what was Joe Millionaire? I don't remember.
You know, the guy's not a millionaire. You know, when you have the thing and it's you're pulling wool over the contestants' eyes.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. You can only do it one time and then the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what the scenario is. Castaway is going to premiere on August 7th, so we'll have to wait and see on that. The largest theater chain in the U.S., AMC, is offering a subscription service a la MoviePass. And it's more expensive at $19.95 per month, but has fewer restrictions. Dubbed AMC Subs A-List, it will roll out starting June 26th, and the service will allow members to watch multiple movies a day and will allow repeat viewings.
So that's not the case with the other service?
MoviePass, yeah. I'm not sure what the details were on when you can and can't.
So for $20 a month,
it's a hell of a deal.
You can watch unlimited amounts of movies?
What it sounds like, yeah.
I've heard mixed reviews on MoviePass. Some people swear by it, but other people think that it's kind of a waste of money.
Are there restrictions? Are there like blacked out dates and stuff like that?
Or yeah, and I think those restrictions...
Can you not go on weekends?
Yeah, and I don't know, because I don't have it personally. Well, but I think it really depends on... I mean, do the research in advance, because it depends on your movie-watching preferences, whether or not it's worth it to you.
I guess maybe they have restrictions on multiple movies a day and repeat viewings, because that's what they're pointing out in the story.
Okay.
But at $20 a month, if you go see two movies a month, you've more than paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be worth it. Where are our AMC theaters?
Is it AMC in Plymouth Meeting?
Plymouth Meeting is an AMC.
Yeah. Okay.
Marvel. I use that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the theater I usually go to.
Okay.
Or there's a Regal in Plymouth Meeting as well that I end up going to. The KOP, obviously.
I go to the AMC Marple all the time.
That's UA. United Artists. And then Regal is at Oaks. That's the other one that I go to. But I do go to the one in Plymouth Meeting. What's that case?
I go to AMC Marple all the time, and I'm a Stubbs member pass.
What's Stubbs?
I don't know. It's just something I signed up for, and as a result, I have a special line that I get to wait in for
Stub line?
refreshments, right? So,
that's cool.
And then I also, I'll pay for a small popcorn, get a medium popcorn, things like that.
Okay, so I signed up for this thing at the UA King of Prussia. I saw a little sign for it. It's called Adam.
What is that?
And I have it, and I don't know. because
I saw it advertised, but I'm too stupid to figure out what it is.
What I thought it was so there's a side where you go in and the refreshments are there, the ticket counter is there, and then you go in and you check, they check your tickets and they send you off to your theater. Now on that side, there's also a concession stand, but nobody's ever there. Nobody ever uses it. And I thought if you use this Adam thing that you could order from that side pick up your food, but I haven't figured out how to do it yet.
I thought you could order from
your phone,
their phone, and then just go pick it up there.
I was on my phone.
I was on my phone, and I tried to order some food.
But you know what?
on. So we went and saw Jurassic World the other night. That, if that were the case, that would have been super helpful, because when I got there, it was the line for the concessions was the biggest I'd ever seen.
Me too. It was packed the other night. It was a Tuesday or Wednesday night. And it was jammed.
All right. But here, there's actually a commercial for Adam running right now.
All right. I need to look it up. I need to go. I'll do a little research on myself. But I haven't. I've tried to do it one time, and it was so confusing I couldn't figure it out.
Can you go to line
Piss
one?
Piss me off.
Steve will explain Movie Pass.
Hi, Steven. You're on the air.
Where'd you get that hat, Kenny?
What's up, big dog? All right, what's going on, man?
I have MoviePass, and I have had it since January. And I got to tell you, it's one of the best purchases I've ever made.
Really?
Being a movie guy like I am. But the thing with it is, they've gone through some changes, because I don't understand how they make money, but I don't really worry about it.
Sure, you should.
Why should you?
Not your problem.
But they recently introduced some changes where I've seen like four movies back in March. I saw them like four times with MoviePass. But now you can only see each movie that comes out once, to where on the app it won't let you pick times for that movie. And it blacks it out and says you've already seen this movie.
Okay, so you can't see movies multiple times. But no. Besides that, if you're seeing a movie for the first time, you're not blacked out of any times, are you?
No, not at all.
But I guess, Steve, it's easy to get around the system, because you just go, you get a ticket for a different movie, and you walk down the theater and you go to the other theater and sit in that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, honestly.
You can game the system.
It's easy to do. I mean, you guys ever, thanks for your call, by the way, Steve. We appreciate it. You guys ever been to a movie and then said, no, I think I'll go, I got some time, I'll go to the theater next door and watch that movie too?
Yeah,
I've
especially
many
for,
times.
For an afternoon, for a matinee show. Yeah, absolutely.
I only did it once. But actually what I did is I left, I'm a criminal.
Yeah.
I left Die Hard and went into Phantasm.
Bastard.
I'm on the run from the law.
Now, when I was a kid, I've done that before. I even watched a movie twice, stayed in the theater and let it, you know, that half hour, whatever you wait, and then watch the movie again.
No, I've never done that, because that's stealing, Preston.
I know. You're a very virtuous young man.
You only steal from the church.
That's right.
The poor box.
Right.
All right, and then one last story. Fox agreed yesterday to Disney's $71.3 billion offer for Fox's entertainment assets, which topped the $65 billion unsolicited bid from Comcast last week. However, even though Fox has agreed to the Disney offer, which it called superior to Comcast, other companies can still make a bid, and the deal still needs to be voted on by shareholders.
So let's put that into context. $71.3 billion. Nick, what's the point three?
That's $300 million.
That's $300 million.
I did the math real quick.
Fox Executive Chairman Rupert Murdoch said in a statement, "We are extremely proud of the businesses that we have built at 21st Century Fox, and firmly believe that this combination with Disney will unlock even more value for shareholders as the new Disney continues to set the pace at a dynamic time for our industry." So we'll see if that comes together or not. All right, we got to get to clips. Let's do those. The Catcher Was a Spy features Paul Rudd as both a Major League Baseball player and spy for the Office of Strategic Services during World War II. In this clip, director Ben Lewin talks about the dual character.
It's a World War II spy movie, which is unlike any other spy movie, because it's about a character who, over his lifetime, reinvented himself many times.
What the hell are you talking about?
The Catcher Was a Spy is going to be out this Friday, by the way. Didn't even know that. All right, let's do the next clip. The new horror film Ghostland follows sisters reuniting at the house of a brutal murder, and things get really strange. Here, Amelia Jones talks about reading the script.
I read it, and I couldn't put it down. I thought it was incredible. There's nothing like it, and all the twists and turns, you know, they're not obvious.
What the hell are you talking about?
Ghostland comes out on Friday as well.
There you go.
That's what I got for you in this morning's entertainment report. As we are taking a break, Casey has handed this to me, so it is by his generosity.
Oh, my God.
That I give you tickets to see Dropkick Murphys tonight, along with Flogging Molly at Festival Pier. Caller 20, we'll give you those tickets. 215-263 WMMR. Keep in mind that some tickets remain. You can get those at Ticketmaster.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two. Guests and more. Get that information when we get back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on
93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live.
When you can call in.
Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
In sports, Nick had written up a report for Kathy about this woman, Kathy McVeigh of Plymouth Meeting, hit in the face, right in the eye, with the Fanatics hot dog cannon. And she got a shiner, man. It's not a, it wasn't just a little fly-by-night thing. She has
right.
She's got a definitely a shiner. Now, the deal was she couldn't block it because she has shoulder issues. She's
right.
about to get surgery on her shoulder, so she couldn't reach up and block it, and it hit her in the face.
Nick brought it up last night, and I'm like, really? That's a story? And then I saw her her face. She got clocked.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, but she's very good-natured about it.
Yeah,
and
she's
a big Phillies fan now. She gets it, but I didn't realize it would cause that much damage, but it did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it comes out of that cannon pretty fast.
Absolutely.
Well, you remember that's how Flanders' wife died, was that, a T-shirt
right.
cannon
oh
shot knocked by off, Homer.
Yeah. Knocked her off the back row of the stadium, right? She fell to her death.
Yeah.
So how close was the Fanatic when he launched this one? Do we know?
That was my question.
Okay.
Yeah. She was behind home plate, right?
Right. Yeah. She had seats relatively close. I just don't know, like, what the trajectory of the hot dog was.
Well, they got to get it up over that net,
right?
If she was behind home plate, so it had to have been a lob, right?
Yeah. You would think that it wouldn't.
They always,
do
I think,
that.
Protocol would probably dictate that you always fire at a lob. You wouldn't fire
you're not gonna do a line
at
drive.
A point blank line drive.
Yeah. I bet you, though, I mean, even though she's not going to take legal action, and I don't even know if there is legal action to be taken, but that the Phils might change up a bit how they do this.
They've already figured out that this is a promotion waiting to happen. So they're reaching out to her, and they're going to involve her with something with the Fanatic. And
it's a great idea.
They're building something to have some fun with it, to apologize, to make good. But also because she seems like she's you know such a big fan and not malicious at all.
She's very sweet.
I hope they don't get rid of the hot dog cannon.
No!
I mean, you know, I could see them maybe making an announcement, you know, making sure that, hey, be aware, these projectiles are going to be flying into the audience.
We can advise them against the chili cannon.
Yes.
We've had experience where we almost killed our intern, the Pituation.
Well,
by
the way, a frozen chili cannon.
By the way, that's an injury story. That right there is a good injury story.
Yeah.
And you know, if what's great about a black eye or a broken arm or something along those lines, if it has a story to go with it, if it's, I tripped, you know.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Walked into a door.
I forgot who. There was somebody recently had an injury, and it was such a lame story. Then, and because everybody has to tell the story, because somebody's going to ask, "Oh, what happened to your eye? You know, or how'd you break your arm, or why are you wearing the cast, and so forth." And you have to offer up the story, and you offer it up all the time. I had mine was pretty good with my hand, because when I broke it a couple of years ago, I broke a bone in my hand, you know, everybody would ask why, and I said, "Ah, indoor skydiving." Like, that was a pretty good story.
That's
to use,
a cool
right?
story. Yeah.
But most are pretty lame. I was walking down the stairs and blah blah blah. You know.
Have I ever had a really cool?
A good story is nice to accompany. I had
you actually have one of the best ever, I think, besides the skydiving, indoor skydiving. It's dumb, but it's a good one. Sliding down the banister.
That's
a story to tell.
It was
that's
a dumbass like, thing.
I was walking out to the car. I was taking out the garbage, and I tripped and fell on my.
Right.
No. Tell them what you did.
Yeah, I slid down the banister, and it was like in a mansion, by the way, and it was in they had like almost like a turret on the front of the house, so it was round. And the staircase went around this round room, and I'm like, I got to slide down that. Of course, I was drunk. I got to slide down that thing.
Woo!
I made it about 2 feet and fell head first all the way down to a marble floor. Bang. Broke both of my wrists. Oh, man, what was the one I was going to tell? I can't. I'll think. I'm having a brain fart. Go ahead.
Well, speaking of being drunk, you guys, my family, my friends, everybody in my life has all had a field day with me rupturing my Achilles and tearing a calf muscle, dancing at a wedding.
Right, yep.
I was bouncing up and down to Madonna, and I came down awkwardly and had to be helped off the dance floor.
So is that a funny story? Is that a lame story?
That's a lame. Do you sit, Nick, for a second? Do you sit on that and say, I need to gussy this up? Or do you say, okay, right from the get-go, I'm going to come clean and admit I was dancing to Madonna when this happened?
That's a good question. I was initially so embarrassed by it. And also, I mean, not for nothing, it really hurt. Like, rupturing your Achilles and tearing calf muscle.
I had one, Preston, that I was maybe 15, that I, for a little while, thought about sitting on and... I was doing, you ever see those springy curling devices where there's a handle on one end and the handle on the other? And
For muscle?
You do the stretch weight
thing, yeah.
Well, you know, you can use it to do curls. You just put one end under your foot.
No.
And one end under. And so I got it under my foot. I pull it up. It slides off my foot and slams me in the face.
Yeah.
And it took me about a day before I'd come clean and admit just how stupid I was.
That one's an embarrassing
one. Yeah, that's definitely embarrassing.
I have psoriasis. I used to get really bad on my leg, and I have these really nasty looking horrible areas on my leg. And I got tired of telling people, they'd be, what do you have, poison ivy? Nah, psoriasis, blah, blah, blah. And when kids would ask me, I decided I was going to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
That has a shark attack down the shore. And I just kind of leave it at that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Made up something. I'm like, I'm tired of telling the same story, so I'm just going to make it up.
Isn't Pierre sort of the king of he has a default. You know,
sure.
An orphanage was on fire. And,
he's always got something like that to tell. A lame one, my uncle tore an ACL or did some kind of massive knee damage. We were playing basketball. He tripped on a curb. Boom, fell down.
It's like,
and it was that's a bad
one. That's a bad story.
There was a guy that I went to school with, and he got knifed, man. That's a good story.
That's a good story.
He had a scar on his stomach.
All right. If you have a scar with a cool story, for example, when you found out that Indiana Jones got his scar on his chin because he simply bullwhipped himself.
Yeah. Is that what happened?
It sort of undermined it, didn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, there was the lion that was coming at him in the train when he was, River Phoenix.
Yeah. Right. Let me go to a couple calls here. I have, let me go to Mel. She might have a good story. Or is this a guy? Mel?
Hey.
Hey, Mel, how you doing?
God, it's your favorite sorority sister in Pokemon.
Oh, hey. Okay, right. It is Mel. We know Mel.
Nice. Yeah. What's up?
So when I was in high school, I used to build robots. And at a Pokemon competition, at a robot competition at Drexel, we had robots. We would bring them on and off the field. And one of the robots, it wasn't chained up correctly. A robot attacked my arm and cut me.
So you're talking about robots that you use for robot battles, right?
Yeah. Well, it's called First Robotics. It was, it still runs. It's by Dean Kamen, the guy who created the Segway.
Yeah.
It starts with Lego robotics, and it goes up to robots that, like, they were the size of me. So I have a picture of myself. They was as tall as me. So one of these robots was not chained up correctly, and so the robot, it came off of its hinge, and it attacked me.
All right,
so I had a nice cut on my arm.
The bottom line is, when you tell the story, the injury story, I was attacked by a robot. That's a good story.
I say I got in a knife fight with a robot.
Okay. So do you have a scar?
I used to have a scar. It's faded over the years.
I'd put it back.
Yeah,
I would draw. I would outline it again so people could ask. So you could say, "No, seriously, I was attacked by a robot."
Yeah,
that's a cool story.
That's what it comes down to. When you summarize it, I was attacked by a robot. Same thing with the woman that was hit by the hot dog.
Yeah,
I was shot in the face with a hot dog cannon by the fanatic.
Yeah,
that's a good story. Injury story right there. Thank you, Mel.
I just got a text message from Brendan Igdowski. He used to run the Pocono Raceway. He broke his ankle in two places, falling off of his a bus at his bachelor party in front of polyesters. Like, here you are, like.
He was on top of the bus?
No, just walking.
It was his bachelor party?
Yeah, his bachelor party. Oh, he was walking off the bus. And snapped his ankle in two places.
At polyesters.
Yeah. See, that's not a good story.
That's a lame story.
Yeah. If he was on top of the bus and he nailed his head on an overpass as they were driving through.
Boom. That's a good story.
All right, let me ask you, is this a good story? Because I'll simplify it. I got a massive concussion during a dance battle in high school.
Mm, dance fight. Dance fight. What do you think? I don't think so, Preston.
Was it, were you breakdancing or something?
Oh, I was trying to do a backflip.
Oof. Lame.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Now, had you been in a legitimate dance fight,
yeah,
that would have skipped it up a little bit.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me go to, let's see if we have impressive injury stories. And it's not just the injury itself. It's the story of how it happened. I will go next to, let's go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, you guys rock.
Hey, thanks, buddy. All right, what's your story, man?
All right, so you guys know, the game King of the Hill?
King of the Hill, yes. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, so we're being stupid, grade school me. Mm-hmm. We have a baseball field out back of my house, back in, my hometown. There's these metal bleachers that are just, all around the perimeter of the baseball field.
Yep.
The metal supports that are on the back of the bleachers?
Sure. Yes, yep.
They're on, X's?
Yep.
So we decided to play King of the Bleachers rather than King of the Hill. Yep. So, used to be five, six kids on top of the very top. We're all trying to knock each other down. I was one of those kids that got knocked down, and my leg got caught inside one of the metal supports. So at that point, my ankle, I'm assuming, broke at that point.
So you snapped your leg slid down into the wedge and snapped your ankle?
Yeah.
So you lost that round of King of the Hill.
Yeah.
That's
not a good story.
No.
You can definitely say that.
It's an injury. It's painful. It needs something more.
Too hard to explain. Yeah. If it was the top of the stadium.
Right.
There you go.
I fell off the top of that stadium.
That's...
as they were demolition was occurring.
That would be a story. And yeah. it's too hard to explain. It's got to be, I was shot in the face by a hot dog cannon at the Fanatic.
Yeah.
A robot knifed me. Really? Yeah. A robot attacked me. Really?
What?
Oh my God. Do tell.
Yeah.
What about
a shark in my bathtub?
Ryan. I separated my shoulder riding a bike through a wall of fire.
Now that's it. Good, and that's what happened to Casey.
Yeah.
You don't even have to go into the detail it was wood paneling.
There was a wall of fire.
It was a wall of fire.
There was a wall, and it was on fire a little bit.
And it was actually just warm wood.
Casey would have the best because of the month of stunts that we did. I was dragged by a horse.
Yes.
There you go. That's a good story. You had that one.
I drove my car into a pond.
I was shot with 1,000 paintballs.
Yeah. Yep.
All those things. Let me see. I'm going to go to, how about this one? I have Ray. Hi, Ray. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Ray?
So, a guy I work with, we joke around all day long, and basically, he shattered his ankle way back, and he got all kinds of, reconstructive surgery, and, he had to have all kinds of stuff done to make it right so he's able to walk.
Okay.
So, one of our vendors comes in, and we're talking about, injuries and stuff like that, and, I was like, he got bit by a lion. He was like, wait, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah. I was like, he was like 13. He jumped into the, sort of, he snuck in and over here and Pittsburgh Zoo and got caught by a lion.
Yeah.
And she's like, wait a second. No way.
Yeah,
So it's been going on for about 3 months now where she comes in and she's like, so how are you? And I'm like, this happened 15 years ago. He's fine now, but. It's hilarious.
But that's it. That's perfect.
The rabies shot.
It's just enough.
I like it, Ray.
Wait, you've heard stories about people jumping into enclosures. You know who has a great story? Sharon Stone's ex-husband, who used to be the publisher for the San Francisco Chronicle, I think, got bit by a Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
Got bit by a Komodo dragon.
And got really sick
from it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good story.
Yeah.
I like that. Here we go. Let me go to Mark. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Preston, how you doing? This is Mark. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Ah, love it, buddy. Thank you so much. What's your story you want to share with us?
Well, I was camping out when I was about 15 with a few friends, and one of my friends' name was Rob Roberts. As you can imagine, he was a little bit of an idiot.
Rob Roberts
was a bit of an idiot.
He's a bit of an idiot. You understand.
I could go all day talking about him, but the one story that you reminded me of is he had a shotgun out, and me and my buddy were up near Montgomeryville on the other side of this creek, and he thought if he shot the water
with a shotgun, it would splash us with water. So needless to say, me and my buddy see what he's going to do. We dive behind a log. Thank God most of my important parts were covered by the log, but our legs got sprayed with shotgun pellets.
He shot into the water with you in the water and sprayed your legs with shot.
Yeah, well, we were on the other side of the creek. He shot the water trying to splash us on the other side, and all the pellets ricocheted off the water.
Jesus.
I didn't know it would do that.
Rob Roberts is an idiot.
Yeah.
And they were burning hot, even though they hit the water, they were in my leg. And I had one in my knee for about 4 years. I didn't want to tell my parents what happened, so I slowly carved it out with a Swiss Army knife.
Nice.
That's a good story. Yeah. I like that, Mark.
You know, as a cool story, Kathy, your friend.
Which, by the way, before you get to that story, if you are going to tell us our story, Mark, what you lead with is I say, Mark, what's your story? Say, I was shot with a shotgun.
Yes, boom.
Bang, right there. And then you get into the details of Rob Roberts being an idiot and so on and so forth.
So, Kathy, thank you for calling. Lead your story with the money shot and then explain.
You're talking about the most recent one, right?
Right.
He was stung by a jellyfish on his dong.
That's how you lead.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
That's it.
What happened?
Yeah, my friend Mike was swimming. You had a story earlier in the week, Preston, how the jellyfish were terrible at the Jersey Shore. And he was in Sea Isle. He was swimming, I believe it was in the bay, with his kids. And none of the kids got stung by a jellyfish, and he didn't know at the time, but when he got home, there was like burning, so he had his wife look at it, and they had to actually take tweezers. I didn't know that the jellyfish had like little stingers or whatever.
Yeah,
she said there was all these prickly things on his penis, and she had to pull them out with tweezers. And
wow,
she was very helpful in telling him, "I think you have an STD." so he was.
Where
freaking
did you
out.
Get syphilis?
Yeah, he was freaking out. He went to the doctor the next day, and they said for sure he was stung by a jellyfish.
Whoa! You lead with that story.
Yeah,
got stung in the dong by a jellyfish.
But did you guys?
That's a story.
Did you know that jellyfish?
I did.
Prickly stingers or whatever?
They're barbs.
Okay.
Do you know, Kathy, they can be basically all but dead on the beach, and you can still get stung by them.
Like, I thought it was more of like a burn, I guess, I think because that's how people describe the sensation as burning. I didn't know that they would put those things in your skin.
I think it depends on what kind of jellyfish it is.
Yeah.
So a book I read as a kid, and we will get back to this, but a guy named Thomas Helm wrote this book called Shark Unpredictable Killer of the Sea. He was a Navy diver. He swam over to a Portuguese man of war. It looked so beautiful. He said he just reached out and touched a little bit of one of the tentacles. He swam up onto the shore, convulsed, passed out, woke up 2 days later.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
That's how powerful
it
is.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
So you don't want that on your nuts.
Here's a text that says, I got shot in the face with a hot dog at the Reading Phillies. I put my hand up to block it, and it hit my hand, but it really hurt. And I'm starting a support group for me and this lady.
Should they switch to creme brulee?
Yeah, they probably should. Oh my God, how awesome would that be?
Creme brulee
cannon. It would look like Peter North.
It would, absolutely.
Peter North.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go to Brett. Hi, Brett, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's your story, man?
My story is my dad ran himself over with his motorhome.
There you go.
That's it.
Your dad ran himself over with his motorhome.
No, you leave out himself. The headline is man gets run over by a motorhome.
Yeah, my dad was run over by a motorhome. And it says here he broke seven ribs.
Yeah, he broke seven ribs and luckily missed like every major organ.
Wow. Virtually impossible. So do tell.
Well, I guess something went wrong with it, and he decided to crawl underneath it, and I guess it wasn't, locked up.
Yeah, it wasn't secure.
And it just rolled backwards, and luckily, after it, seven ribs, it stopped.
Wow.
Man.
Wow. That's unbelievably lucky.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. I told you guys this story before. My dad was run over by a tractor.
Yes.
And his brother was driving because they lived in a really rural area and they had, crops and so on. So he was running to jump up onto the tractor. He slipped, fell down, and that gigantic tire, and it was freshly plowed land. So it was.
That's what saved his life.
And it rolled right over his chest. And he said afterwards he had those giant treadmark bruises on his chest.
It pushed him down into the dirt.
Exactly.
But that saved his life.
It saved his life because it was so soft. And that's a good story. I like that one.
Did I ever tell you that time my dad got run over by a tractor?
Right, exactly. You need to be able to tell it like that.
Right. Well, why didn't he breathe so good? Yeah. He got run over by a tractor.
Let me go to, I'm going to go to Paul. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, what's your story?
So I was drinking in college, believe it or not, and I got a little bit too inebriated, and it was late in the evening, and we were running after the last bus that would take us the whole way across campus to go back home instead of walking. So we saw the bus pulling away from the stop, so we started chasing after it, running, and I shouldn't have been running, and while I was trying to get to the bus, I tripped over the curb and slammed almost head first into a stop sign pole. And I managed to get my arm up just in enough time, and basically it was the sharp end of the stop sign pole.
Ooh.
And it gouged out a chunk of my arm, and basically I hit with enough force that my keys actually went through my jeans. And we ended up having to walk the whole way across campus. And when I got back, I looked at my arm, and it was basically flapped over.
Oh,
and so I had to go to the emergency room and get about 17, 18 stitches put in my arm. And, of course, I was so embarrassed by it, I just told everybody after the fact that I got a really bad rugby injury at the bottom of the scrum.
Really bad rugby injury.
Just trying to be a little bit of a man about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and avoiding all the details of having to explain that convoluted story.
It's a good story. Yeah. It needs a sell.
I ran into a stop sign pole.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you changed it. I understand. Yeah. And that's worth it, definitely. Okay, I want to go to this one. I think we got a winner here.
All right.
And let's see if Joe can tell it to give us just the absolute sell. Quick
High concept
synopsis of it, and then the details. So I'm going to go to Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing, man?
Hey, how are you?
Good, buddy. All right, what's your story?
All right, so we're a football team, and we're fooling around in the locker room.
He's not going to do it.
No. Nope.
Joe, I'm going to do this for you, Joe. This is how you tell it. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I cut my friend's ball sack open, whipping him with a towel.
Boom.
And
what?
And you say, we were in the locker room, right. And here's what happened.
I cut my friend's nutsack open with a towel. What?
Yeah.
And then you explain.
All right, now, Joe, you can explain.
I cut my friend's ball sack open with a towel.
What?
Whoa.
What?
Dude.
You got to tell us this story.
All right, so football team, we were fooling around in the locker room towel with each other, and I ended up cutting this ball sack open.
With a towel. Dude,
with a towel.
Did you know you were lethal with a towel before this, or did you?
No, not at all. We were just kids in high school fooling around.
How big was the cut?
It was big enough to where he eventually died from an infection.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not.
Not dude, from the ball sack.
You murdered your friend?
You're just a killer.
I murdered my friend by cutting
his ball sack open with a towel.
That's actually
I don't even
the
care
headline.
If it's real Joe. Or not. That's a story.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, you're right. If you're going to leave with that, I killed my friend by whipping him in the nutsack with a towel.
You left out the murder part?
Yeah. Now he's dead. Should have been the lead line.
All right, I have time for one more. I'm going to go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Ryan. What's your story, man?
When I was 13, I was fishing with my dad, and I was standing behind him, and he casted the line, and it wrapped around my face into my cheek, and then I was attacked by two seagulls for the bait on the hook.
I had seagulls attack my face. What?
I like it.
Right, yeah.
I like it.
That's good.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it.
It's also, a lot of people make the mistake of calling it like a seagull, like it's an eagle.
Yeah.
It's a seagull.
A seagull.
It's a seagull. And I saw an idiot.
Or maybe it was two Jewish men named Seagull.
Well, the way he said it, but I saw somebody spell seagull, like eagle with an S at the front of it.
Okay. Mm. No, it's seagull. Thank you for your stories, by the way.
Yes. Some good ones.
Yeah, and we eventually, I don't know, maybe we'll talk to this woman. It was Kathy McVeigh shot in the face
with the hot dog cannon at a Phillies game.
She's very sweet.
And I'm sure the fanatic was torn up about it. But she's okay. She's got a big shiner. She's got a story to tell.
And she understands why people find it amusing.
And they're giving him some. They're giving her some free tickets, by the way. There's a wanted poster that NBC Sports Philly has put up of the fanatic, which is pretty hilarious. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, and we will get into the B-File. Do not stray too far, my friends.
This summer, surprise! The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right with food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
All right, Bizarre File. That's what it is. Me and Kathy both are...
I'm so off. All week.
You have those days when you start to say a word.
Yeah.
And then it just goes the other way. And it's exactly what's happening to me today.
Do you know what's interesting? I got this app for the phone and for the iPad that basically scrolls the way a teleprompter would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing something and it'll scroll over the image and you're looking at the camera. And I wrote some copy I did for the charity event. And you always say that'd be easy. You know, the news anchors and people who deliver it with, you know, an effortless approach. It's not.
No.
It's not.
And you know what, Steve? I think it was last year for the Camp Out for Hunger. We went over to NBC 10 to do some promotion for it. And so we went over with our buddy Vi.
Yeah.
And we're sitting down. He's got a teleprompter. And I was watching because he was teasing some stuff coming up. And he's reading up the teleprompter. And Vi was ad-libbing like crazy.
Yeah.
He was skipping over half the words and just rolling with it.
And then coming back in and then going back out.
It was impressive.
Yeah, it was
very impressive.
I don't know if Vi does this or not, but years ago when I worked over there, Renee Chenault-Fatah, her entire newscast, so when she would anchor the news, she would get the scripts. She would require that she got them before, and she would read through them before. Not everybody does that, so I don't know if maybe Vi does that, and that's why, and he kind of knew what he was talking about, but she would go through everything before she would go on the air.
It was cool.
Man, those guys are pros. I, on the other hand, am not. And last week, Dunkin' Donuts is the official coffee of the morning show. In the line in the copy, it's supposed to say favorite flavors. I kept saying over and over.
Flavorite flavors?
Yes, flavorite flavors. And then people pointed it out, and then it got in my head. Yeah. And I couldn't get away from flavorite flavors.
Flavorite flavors.
It's funny, though, because and then on the other side of the coin, we'll have actors who make a living out of talking in public and speaking in events.
Yeah.
They come in and they're asked to talk extemporaneously, and they freeze.
Right.
Everyone's got their skill set, but you appreciate it.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on, and we'll do the bizarre finale.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning's brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings, self-serve cases, and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. It's Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Oh, this is so messed up, and I saw the video of this. An Indonesian man died on Friday after a coffin carrying the body of his mother fell from a stilt tower and crushed him to death.
Dude. Good Lord.
Yeah. Saman Kondarora was killed after the coffin fell off the funeral tower during the service for his mother. So they carry these caskets up onto this big tower. Watching the video footage of it right here.
Oh, my God.
They walk up this ladder to bring it up there. He was a pallbearer, and the other pallbearers were carrying it up the ladder to place it on what's called a Lakian, an ornately carved tower where the deceased is placed before elaborate traditional funeral rites. The ladder crumbled underneath the group's feet. The coffin fell off of it, and it just landed right on top of this guy. It dropped about 10 feet, and it hit him and killed him.
I don't care how big the woman was. You're in a coffin, which is made of wood.
Yeah.
It comes down right down on top of the guy.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder if they're a considerate funeral parlor.
that a discount was afforded him.
I don't know. Bystanders attempted to help the man, but he died on his way to the hospital. The ladder was not properly reinforced, but the family has decided not to press charges against the manufacturer.
Well, that's wild.
Condorura's body now rests beside his mother's. When the ethnic Torrijan dies, some families spend tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars on funerals, and the funerals can go on for days and include feasts, dancing, and animal sacrifice. So that's pretty wild, man. Michael Vines has his alleged crime written all over his forehead after he was involved in a car accident. Vines allegedly tossed a loaded .38 caliber revolver into the grass. However, according to police, Vines is federally prohibited from possessing a gun. Mm-hmm. Aside from his inability to possess a firearm, Vines has a particularly distinctive feature that made this case stand out a little more. It's a huge tattoo. I saw the picture of this guy.
What does it say?
It doesn't say anything. It's just a gun on his forehead. Look at this idiot.
Oh, my God.
We have a picture.
It is also, by the way, a bad tattoo.
It's a bad tattoo.
It's a poorly drawn gun.
The magazine is coming out of the bottom of the handgun, and it goes down to the bridge of his nose.
It's
what moron goes into a tattoo parlor and says, I want to get this.
Put this gun right here. Sure, everyone knows I'm stupid.
Firefighters on the scene of the crash witnessed Vines allegedly tossing the gun away and alerted police. He was charged with driving with a suspended license, driving too fast for conditions, and unlawful possession of a firearm.
You want to know how stupid I am? I got this tattoo.
Oh, my God, what a moron. Authorities say furry critters, not vandals, are likely to blame for American flags that disappeared from veterans' graves in Massachusetts. The flags at Bellevue Cemetery were first reported missing earlier this month, and residents volunteered to replace the flags by hand.
Right.
But then those went missing as well.
People were getting mad.
Police were called in to investigate, and Chief Richard Tarza told the Boston Globe on Monday that officers found evidence that a woodchuck is likely using the flags in its burrow.
Oh, my God.
Aww.
Tarza says
it's a patriotic woodchuck.
A similar incident happened in New York in 2012 where police linked a woodchuck to about 75 flags that disappeared from Cedar Park Cemetery. He says about 12 to 18 flags were damaged in Adams, and police say they still plan to keep an eye on the cemetery. Question.
Yeah.
Woodchucks, groundhogs, are they two different
I think they're the same.
Types of animals, or they just have different names?
Yeah. I think they have different mailing addresses.
I think it might be the same animal with different names. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it's like a puma and a mountain lion.
Okay, got
it. How many chucks would a woodchuck chuck?
Yes. Let's see. Kylie Tully's parents filmed a randy pair of mile-high lovers sitting behind them. It was filmed by a middle-aged couple sitting two rows in front who sent the footage to their daughter. Now, Kylie posted it on Twitter saying, my mom and dad were just trying to have a peaceful trip to Mexico, and then they sent me this. The video has been viewed millions of times since this past Sunday. It shows her mom and dad's looks of horror as they film the bonkers behind them on selfie mode. I mean, they're banging.
They're right there.
Kathy, look at the video.
It appears to be daylight, Preston.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're flying. And
they're flying. It's daylight. The cabin is lit up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're behind them. The woman is straddling the guy in the seat.
Yeah.
Her back is to the camera.
I mean, come on.
What do you guys do in that situation? And your kids aren't with you. Steve, your pretend children are not with you.
Yeah, right.
Do exactly what this lady's doing. Take out your phone, record it, and post it on social media.
I mean, why even record it in, try to hide recording
it? Get up and stand next to them.
I would just get up there.
Yeah, get in there.
And by the way, it's one of those smaller jets. It has one row of seating on one side and two rows of seating down the other. It's really tiny.
Very intimate.
The lovers seem unconcerned that they can be seen by several of their fellow passengers. At one point, the camera pans around the cabin of the small commercial jet and then back to show the man ruffling his lover's hair. The crew appear not to have noticed what's happening, and they are able to continue uninterrupted.
I'd be surprised if people on the ground didn't see them.
And it was not clear which airline they were flying on or whether any action was taken by staff. You found out?
Yeah, it's Silver Airways, which is a sort of a custom air. They were flying from Florida to Mexico.
All right.
And if you'd like to watch the video, it's one of the top links on PresidentSteve.com.
Fire away. All right, one last story. Two firefighters in Ohio have been suspended for allegedly making pornographic videos at the firehouse. Officers say Arthur Dean and Deanne Eller are both placed on administrative leave on Monday while the city launched an investigation into the matter. The fire chief, Clarence Tucker, says someone told a firefighter last week about the act possibly being performed on city property. The firefighter reported it to his superior, who then told the chief. Tucker and Mayor Dan Horrigan said in a joint statement that Dean and Eller did not work at the same fire station, but were known to be in a long-term relationship. They just decided to start making
porn in the firehouse.
Yeah, and that's what they did.
This is an emergency. Why don't you slide down my pole?
Officials have not identified the firehouse where the videos
got a long axe.
Took place. And that is what I have for you in this morning's Bizarre File. I got more stories on the way. Don't forget, we also have a podcast.
Yes,
of those.
We do.
If for some reason you can only catch all the stories are different in the next Bizarre File, in case you're not around for that, you can check that out via our podcast anytime.
I believe we just crossed the, what was it, the 500?
Yeah, we did yesterday was the 500.
500 Bizarre File. And actually, was it Nick, were you mentioning that someone had no idea there was a second Bizarre File?
Yeah. We got a text yesterday, the day before, and it was one of our later listeners. I'm sorry, it was one of our earlier morning listeners who happened to be listening later in the show, didn't know that we did a second B-File around 9:30, 9:45. And so sometimes people aren't aware of that, and it's just, it was a lesson in knowing that not everybody's able to listen to the entire show.
No repeats. I get all fresh stories on your B-Files.
It's funny because we... I love all parts of the show. Later on in the show, we are so off the rails because we routinely go well past our time that we're supposed to end. Mm-hmm. And those are those times when you really get the what are we talking about moments.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. All right, real quick, I need to hit this a few more times. So we are starting on Monday the triumphant return of the Battle Royale. It's Bucksco versus Delco. And we're excited about it, of course. Bucksco versus Delco. So these two combatants are going to go at it once again 5 years later. But here's the deal. Part of it will involve some trivia. We have several different things involved as far as contests go each and every day next week. But part of that is going to be trivia-based, not all of it. And I need some more Delaware County trivia. I got plenty of Bucks County trivia. And we are putting it to you, the residents or former residents of Delaware County, to give us some interesting tidbits, facts, history, food and drink, sports, whatever, anything about Delaware County or things that have happened in Delaware County or landmarks, whatever it may be. I need more of these in order to make this contest a really good one. So you can send your questions to Delco@WMMR.com. If you've already done it, don't worry about it. We already got those. We need to get some more, though. So Delco@WMMR.com. Send in your questions with the answers. And we are going to go through those and verify. We have a panel of experts here that are helping us out with that.
So Kathy won last time, and it was a nail biter. Got down to the end, but we did realize that there were some mistakes made about the vetting of questions and the difficulty level.
There was no mistake made.
Kathy is totally sure that everything was absolutely fine. But we're going to make sure. And you've gone to great lengths, Preston, to make sure that there is an even playing field here.
Yeah, we're trying it, and Marissa and Nick are helping go through these. It's tough. I know. I'm really trying to make this as even as possible.
Well, listen, down to the fact that Casey is familiar with it, with a certain area of Delco, and Kathy is more familiar with a certain area of Bucks County. Yeah. So, you have to keep things in that realm. And so we're trying to fine-tune those different aspects.
I agree. And I'll tell you what, it's been fun. Like, I'm really looking forward to next week. We have a lot that's planned. We've really, I think, hopefully done a good job of keeping Casey and Kathy in the dark about everything that we're doing next week. So they don't know. So it's going to be a surprise for them.
And they actually will be in the dark at various moments throughout next week.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. All right. So it begins next week, dear friends. So we need your help. Send those Delaware County questions with their answers to Delco@WMMR.com. We're going to take a break and be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Metallica. Dorothy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! I liked it.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, man.
Bugs,
that's the way you do it.
Bugs, go.
Yeah.
Case, you had an event you wanted to mention today.
Yeah, so tonight, if you're available, and let's say you live in the New Jersey area or in Cherry Hill, and you want to throw some hatchets at things, please join me at Chopper's Hatchet House. It's an open house. So what that means is you can come by and throw some hatchets for free.
So tonight it's Chopper's Open Hatchet House.
That's right. And so that's going on from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. tonight. But if you want to show up to the event, you actually have to register ahead of time. So
okay.
Go to WMMR.com, click on events, and then you can go to the page where it says, you know, today's date and Chopper's Hatchet House. Hatchet House.
It's a lot to say.
Yeah, it's make sure you have closed-toed shoes, valid ID, matching your signed waiver, and let us know that you're coming. And it's a free axe throwing event. All you have to do is sign up. You can bring your own food. Don't forget, you can bring some cold ones as well.
So, it's the big thing.
It is the big thing. See you tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. By the way, it's if you're there, take some selfies because today is National Selfie Day.
Woo.
Yes. Yes, they've recognized selfies and given it its name. There's a National Everything Day, by the way.
It's, in fact, we talked about this. How do things become declared National Whatever Day? I've been checking social media. I think pretty much now every day is National Selfie Day.
It is.
I have not noticed an uptick in selfies.
Marissa had a selfie yesterday at the ball game. So I took a selfie yesterday, only it was just of my shirt. but yeah, National Selfie Day is apparently today. But there's some interesting little tidbits I saw online about selfies. And in fact, here is a story about the very first space selfie that was ever taken.
Which is, you sent it over to me this morning. It's, I forgot about it, but it is awesome.
Buzz Aldrin.
Who's super cool.
Selfie in outer space with the Earth in the background. This wasn't on the moon landing. This is in November of 1966. And Aldrin was one of the two pilots on the Gemini 12. They pronounce it Gemini. Not Gemini. Gemini 12, which went into space, hoping to demonstrate the astronauts could work well outside of the aircraft, spacecraft. And Aldrin had some downtime, and he said he simply, quote, wanted to know what he looked like. And he took the camera out, and he took a selfie of himself with the Earth in the background. So that was the first ever space selfie.
Could you imagine? I mean, so he comes back to Earth. Shows that picture, how much he got laid off that. I don't know if he's married at the time. He's had a couple wives.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, what a picture.
Yeah, that's about as cool as it would get right there.
We all have iPhones, right, in this room?
Yes.
So there's when you go into your albums and on your photos, it divides them into all of your photos into number of selfies.
Yeah.
I only have 28 on there. I don't take many.
Wow.
I hate selfies.
In the actual photo app?
I do, too. Yeah, so it'll go, for me anyway, Steve, it goes camera roll, people, places, videos, and then underneath that, selfies.
So you look under albums.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have 1,287.
Selfies?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Mine is German porn.
No, Steve.
Oh, I'm on the wrong one. Okay.
Okay, so.
Oh, I see selfies, yeah.
But
it says 275?
Hmm.
I don't take selfies.
Wait, but in my selfies category, it's like there's pictures of my cat. So it's
that's
like
have,
a
Kathy.
Close-up picture. Like, it's any close-up picture.
Picture of a cat.
Right?
It shouldn't be. It should be when you put the camera on selfie mode, when it flips the other.
But maybe it was. Like, maybe I'm looking at this picture. Maybe my cat was sitting next to me, so I flipped the camera around or something.
Mine, the reason I have so many, look at mine. Mine are multiples of me in the same shot, and I just didn't delete.
Or you take a bunch.
Yeah, I'd take like five.
And you never deleted
them.
And
you get, then I never go around to deleting them.
What's your most embarrassing selfie
that
you're right
there? Oh my God, I have so many I'm looking at. Mine are groups. Mine are group pictures, though. Nice, Steve.
Me wearing my Rocketeer helmet.
Is that more embarrassing than this selfie, Steve?
You win.
Yeah.
Are you naked?
That's me taking a dump in the Grand Canyon.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a keeper.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, apparently my son got a hold of my phone at one point because there's a whole bunch of selfies of him making funny faces.
I do, as with you, Kathy, I have a whole bunch of pictures of cats. But Preston is right. It's in selfie mode because the cat was on my shoulder or...
I take a lot of bedhead pictures. Like, here's one of me. You guys want to see?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. When my hair gets a little bit on the long side, I put so much product in my hair, and then when I wake up in the morning, it's contorted in all kinds of different ways. So I take a lot of bad hair pictures.
There's a picture with me and Kathy had come in late. She was not in a. It's Linda Blair from The Exorcist.
Yeah. Marissa, does yours indicate how many selfies you have, or are you pretty good at deleting yours and getting rid of them right away, or do you hang on to them?
I have to imagine she has.
I don't clean mine out at all.
No, I don't at all.
I need to do it.
Every time I post, I'll take like five or six, and then I'll try to like go through and erase the ones that I don't like.
Yeah. All right. So you don't have a ton of excess.
I mean, I have a ton of selfies. See, I love selfies. I heard a podcast once that just talked about how empowering selfies are. Instead of like asking someone else to take a picture of you, you're taking a picture of yourself, and you don't need that help of someone to take the picture of you.
See, I think
I'm taking control.
No,
yeah.
I think,
my own
but
life.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve.
Yes.
Please
yes.
cue the music
please.
If you will.
Yes.
Yes.
Take back my life song. I'll take my pictures so you don't have to.
But I think the complete opposite. I think posting a selfie, and listen, I have posted selfies before, of course, but I'm not a big selfie person because I think it says, look at me.
It does.
Like, look at me again. Here I am again.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
You
well,
know what I mean?
Or is it that you don't
listen,
look as good
just,
in selfies?
No, it's just my preference. I would rather, like, here, excuse me, can you take a picture of me? Or can you take a picture of me and my friends? I'd rather see an actual photo than, like, people's heads half cut off. Maybe you get something in the background. Maybe you don't. Like, hey, it's me again.
My father would always chastise, well, not chastise, but say, if you're going someplace, you know, you need to be in the picture. Like,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah,
if
sure.
you're like Mount, we were talking about Mount Rushmore and other landmarks and stuff like that. If you're going to be there, you need to be in the picture to put it in context.
Yeah. Well, but a lot of selfies can be, this is me doing something cool, or this is me at some awesome
working
place.
Out or all of that stuff. Preston, that you had the picture or the, it was in the Bizarre File, I believe, of the guy who was at the scene of a someone who had gotten hit by a train and was taking a selfie as they tended to the person who was dying.
Yep, Marissa.
And I just hate posing. Like, I hate being in front in a photo alone, and you say, hey, take a picture of me, and you just kind of, like, stand there, and I don't know what to do with my hands, and do I kick my leg up? Do I jump? Do I do something cute? But with a selfie, you can kind of, you're on your own.
If you want to see how bad I am at group shots, look at the picture of us from the blood drive over the weekend. I'm standing there like Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what. It's like Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights. What do I do with my hands?
All right, so here are the most popular places to take a selfie. Now, this was an article in CNN that CNN had, but it was in 2015, so it might be a smidge dated, but these are still really popular places to do them. It was based on Instagram posts tagged selfie between October of 2010 and January 2015, so over a five-year period, basically, roughly. So the top places were the Eiffel Tower,
mm-hmm.
Disney World.
Where at in Disney World?
It doesn't say.
Okay, anywhere.
Burj Khalifa, Dubai.
Oh, wow.
Big Ben in London. The Empire State Building in New York.
So some obvious ones.
Sagrada Familia.
That's the picture I drew.
In Spain? Yes, that was actually a landmark. I thought it was a family on fire.
Barcelona, right?
Barcelona.
Yeah. Welcome to Barcelona.
Disneyland Paris.
Ooh.
Is also a popular spot. By the way, we have a trip to Paris we're giving away tomorrow. Colosseum in Rome.
Yes.
The Top of the Rock in New York. What's the Top of the Rock?
30 Rock.
Oh, 30 Rock.
Rockefeller Center. Yeah.
Gotcha. And London Bridge in London. These are the most popular selfie places, according to this, or maybe some other ones that have popped up since then. But they're saying also being in this National Selfie Day, they're kind of looking at the history of the selfie. The selfie stick had a big surge and then kind of fizzled out.
Yeah,
I still have my selfie stick is back in the office.
Do you ever use it?
I only used it for a couple of times, you know,
I saw a lot of tourists.
Who wants to carry it around?
I saw a lot of tourists using them in Iceland. I went to Iceland in March, and especially Asian tourists, they would carry them everywhere. And it's good for
group shots.
For group shots and for landscapes, too, like if you want to get a lot behind you.
Real quick, I'll go back to this. And, well, it says that in 2014, Time Magazine listed it as one of the best 25 inventions of that year. But there's been a lot of restrictions. Concerts, theme parks, museums, and so forth have kind of banned them.
You know the drone I gave you?
Yeah.
That was sold as a selfie drone.
Well, that's what they're saying. Yep. That could be the future of selfies. There could be more drones coming in that will be cheaper and easier to use, that you can use selfies
for. Take it out of your pocket, throw it up, and it takes your picture.
Somebody had a question. Is it a selfie if you take a picture in the mirror? I guess technically no, because you're not holding it out and with your arm and facing towards you.
You're simply taking a picture into the mirror.
But I would still call it a selfie.
I would consider that a selfie. And it actually, in my phone, it popped up a picture of me and the cat in the mirror, and it popped up as a selfie.
Yeah, it's still just as narcissistic as a regular selfie.
Somebody also texted, listen, somebody texted in and says, do you feel douchey taking a selfie in public?
Yes.
Sometimes, yes.
100%.
I was at the Barnes, you know, the art museum, and there was a famous portrait by Van Gogh, the mailman, and I wanted to get a picture of it. But just,
Van Gogh was a mailman?
But no, but just having a picture of it, I'm like, I can look that up online to give it some context. I'm going to be in it as well. So I'm standing there, and there's other people in the gallery, and I'm taking a selfie of me with this Van Gogh, and I'm like,
dear God, look at this douche.
That's what I felt like. Yeah. I felt like an a-hole. But
he's standing next to the Van Gogh.
Yeah, I felt like a bit of a jerk, but...
I appreciate why you were doing that. You're putting yourself... Otherwise... If you take a picture of a picture, it just looks like a JPEG you lifted off of a, you know, you got to be in it.
Yeah. I'm having so much fun going through what are considered selfies in my phone. I found this one of me and Black Santa. That Pierre's decoration that he puts out.
Oh, that's
here.
A selfie.
It's a selfie.
Yeah, you and Black Santa.
I forget how the iPhone does do the, you know, remember you, what was the thing with the brassiere? You put in the word brassiere in the search?
That's in the search.
And I feel like I've tried it a few times on my phone and it's not working.
Some things work.
Yeah.
Others don't. I could put in golf and all kinds of pics that are on a golf
put
course.
Put in penis.
Okay, I'll try it.
See what happens.
Let's see here. P-E-N-I-S. No results found.
Huh.
How about, let me try golf, just see what comes up. Yeah, lots of them come up. 391.
When you do golf, it also includes courses, right? Like, so even if
where your location is. How about, let's see, I'll put it just a random word, coffee. Coffee shops and coffee category. There's 46 pictures. So, yeah, it'll work with some things, Kathy.
The hell is that?
And locations, obviously, if you put in a state or a city, some of them will come up. Not all of them. I remember looking up one in particular, and it just a handful of photos came up. I was looking for pictures when I went to the Maker's Mark distillery, and I put in Kentucky, and just like two or three of the pictures came up. But I took tons of pictures that day.
Why it randomly selected those, because I'm just fascinated with the way that it can identify. By the way, you haven't tagged it at all, a lot of these photos.
Right.
And it just is able to discern or divine what is in the photo.
Yep. What do you guys use to store your digital photos?
A big box.
Social media, some of them. And I'm now with the cloud. I've never accessed it and gone to look what's in there or anything. But I did buy an external hard drive that I put a bunch on that I absolutely positively do not want to lose.
Are they organized on that drive?
Kind of.
Okay, so...
I was talking to Nick Murphy. You can't really...
You have to do it yourself.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
See, I do it myself, and it is. Sometimes I'll sit down for an hour in front of the computer just organizing photos.
There are programs that will jump in that, for example, even on the iPhoto app, it will it's been tagged where it wasn't.
Well,
you know, like,
so I had the iPhoto.
I think came up, Nick, that said Cancun trip.
Okay.
And I never put together.
You never went to Cancun.
But I never put together a folder.
Basically, my computer crashed at one point, and a lot of my photos were backed up onto the hard drive, which is fine. But now they're just organized by chronological order.
Yeah,
which is not organization enough. So I want to find a program. iPhoto, I think, is pretty good, but if there are suggestions, I'd love to hear them.
I guarantee there are.
Here, Clinton has a question. Clinton, you're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, what did you want to point out? I mean.
I guess about the selfies, you know, it seems that a lot of people take selfies where they're actually looking at the camera or looking at their phone as they're taking the picture.
At the screen.
Almost like for the benefit of themselves instead of for the benefit of the viewer. Like, what is it about not posing for other people?
Well, are you talking about when they're taking a picture in a mirror or when they're looking at the camera? People will take a picture
in the mirror.
In the mirror.
Yeah.
And instead of looking in the mirror, making quote-unquote eye contact with the viewer, they look down at the screen of their phone. I asked Kathy about this a while back. She thinks that they just want to have that almost closed eye look, looking down type of thing. I remember you telling me that,
yeah,
Kathy.
Yeah, yeah.
You think that? I think they're actually framing the shot in the.
I think it's part of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it until Kathy brought it up that they want that look, that kind of. You know what I mean?
Let me do it. And do you tell me if I'm sexy?
Well, no. You look like an idiot when you do that. But
sexy idiot.
But my other to point up a little bit of what Clinton was saying. When you are holding up the selfie view, you're holding the camera in your hand away from your face and using that front facing camera that faces towards you and the screen. Rather than look at your own image.
move your eyes up just a tiny bit where that little hole is, where the actual camera is, and you'll be looking like you're looking right at the viewer.
It's a little trick, but it'll work.
Yeah. So you look, glance quickly at how you want it framed, and then just look up real quick where the little camera is.
Or draw eyes above your own eyes.
Oh, that's smart.
And there you'll always be looking at it. By the way, in Hawaii, problems with tourists and even some residents hanging out at deadly lava flows to take selfies and other photos have gotten so bad that Hawaiian authorities are cracking down on it.
They're having to stop people from almost setting themselves on fire.
About 40 people have been arrested since May 3rd for what they're calling loitering. They're calling loitering near lava flows, including a dozen in the last 10 days.
Did you finally see that video of the that I sent over, the lava flow book?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it was moving at a pretty fast pace. The state recently raised the penalties for loitering near lava flows to a $5,000 fine and up to a year in jail. They're trying to get a handle on it. People are putting themselves in dangerous situations, and that's why they're enforcing this law.
How many times over the past year, year and a half, 2 years, have you reported on selfie deaths at the edge of cliffs, Grand Canyon?
It happens a lot in the UK, where there's a lot of really beautiful cliffs
that
you can take pictures of, and people go to the edge of it and don't realize that the ground, it's not just in the tripping and falling, the ground can give way if you get too close to the edge of those cliffs, and they're dying.
What a picture.
I think it might have happened that there may have been one at the Grand Canyon not that long.
Just recently,
So you do have to be careful.
I think there was actually two people that went over.
Wow. That's messed up. So National Selfie Day, I don't know if anybody is acknowledging that or participating in it today.
I think the Pope is going to do a mass for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Take pictures of yourself often and show your feet and what kind of food you're eating.
That can stop.
Or how hot you and your friends are.
Make the lips that look like a duck.
They're right.
And to show how many reps you can do on the Smith machine.
You are so hot.
The Pope gets it.
Hey, he totally gets it.
I'm trying to find other good
ones. And we need to stop gurning.
Gurning?
Where you suck your lip into your mouth and you look like a Popeye.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to see if there's ones of us that I've taken of members of the show
on
together.
On your phone?
Yeah.
You know, if you stop and think about it.
Me and Gary Lauer.
Jamming?
Having a barbecue. Not this year, but the year before.
In your phone. Think about it. You might very well have more photos than you've ever, in actual physical photographs, than you've taken throughout your entire life.
Yeah.
In your phone right now.
Yeah, probably.
You have more digital photographs than any physical photograph altogether throughout your life.
Here's me and Drunk Nick.
Where's that?
That's in California. That's actually a video.
Preston and Nick McElwain.
I know this guy.
And we're here. Look at this background. We're here in Manhattan Beach. Los Angeles, California. It's gorgeous, right, man?
Suck it, Pennsylvania.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You never saw that?
I don't know.
You probably never wanted to, right?
Nick was bombed.
I know this guy.
Who was afraid of him? Was it Caroline thought he was a monster? Or who?
No, no. Caroline and we got along great.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. As far as I remember.
We got along great.
Was she even there?
She was there.
Yeah. We played 31.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
I remember some stuff.
That was a treat.
I remember some stuff.
All right. Anyhow, National Selfie Day. Hang on a second. We have a suggestion for you, Nick. I'm going to go to Lily. Hey, Lily.
Good morning.
What's up, Lily?
So I've been using Dropbox. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yes. Sure, yeah. We use it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was my suggestion. So.
Okay. Yeah, but it can help you organize your photos.
So I'm 22 now, and I have pictures still from 10th grade of high school. Like I can look them up in an instant. It's amazing.
Does the program itself does it have an organizing feature? Because I think Nick was looking for something that could sort of kind of jump in and do that for him, or at least to assist him.
It just goes by date.
Okay.
So it goes by, like, the date. And then it can go by, like, year, month, but that's as far as organizing.
Right. Yeah. So chronologically, if there's, like, for example, with the iPhoto program, it seems to recognize faces. It seems to recognize locations. Yeah. And then it puts them together in folders that way as well. And I think we're looking for is something that might do that and then even more.
A lot of people have started suggesting using Google Photo, and I have that app, but I might try that. I might give that a shot, you know, for a few, like for 2018 photos or whatever, and see how that works.
I ported my iCloud photos, so they're on both. They're on both the iPhoto and the Google Photo. I haven't checked it out, though. I haven't used it much.
So do you know if you have a preference of one over the other?
They're both pretty good. Right. I haven't really screwed around with the Google stuff that much.
Okay.
All right. Well, I just wanted to bring up that National Selfie Day, and then we're going to have to break in a second because we have a guest coming by, so we're not going to have time to dive into too much more. But I did want to mention this. Coco, the gorilla. Coco died.
Oh, no.
The sign language gorilla.
Yeah, she's the one that had her pet All Ball, the kitten, the cat.
Yes, she strangled about 15 accidentally. She did. I mean, she's very strong. But it's just part of the deal.
Coco was
this is your kitty. This is number 15.
That's all prey.
Like Lenny of Mice and Men.
No, she was 46 years old. She passed away Tuesday morning in her sleep. This is according to the Gorilla Foundation. As well as her communication prowess, she was known for her pet All Ball and abandoned kitten that she received as a birthday present from researchers.
I was just watching her TED Talk last night.
Oh, really?
It was amazing.
Let's see. She was born in San Francisco Zoo July 4th, Casey.
Yeah.
1971, and was named Hanabiko, Japanese for fireworks child.
I prefer Coco.
A psychologist, Francine Penny Patterson, began teaching Coco to sign when she was a graduate student in 1972. Patterson and others eventually taught Coco to use and understand hundreds of English words. Patterson started the Gorilla Foundation in 1986. Coco's language skills were widely reported in the media, and she appeared on the cover of National Geographic twice. Did they teach others to do that too?
They have, and they've taught they've taught chimps, and they've taught.
So she just must have been the first.
She also had, I think, because of the duration, had you know, a very extensive sign language vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
She actually wrote the Da Vinci Code.
No, she didn't.
Well, the chapters are really short.
Coco, by the way, requested a kitten from researchers one Christmas.
Coco want small animal to kill.
And unsatisfied by a stuffed version, scientists let her choose the real thing from a litter in 1984.
I mean, we're looking at pictures. These are the videos that you would see. You look into the eyes of this. They're incredible creatures.
Yeah.
And it's so human looking, you know?
I know, yeah.
And the way that they... tear kitten heads off. It's just exactly the way. No, she had the pets. The way she would hug a human, it was just amazing.
Yeah. So going on about the kitten, she selected a gray and white kitten and named that baby herself. The woman explained. She said the cat was a Manx and looked like a ball. And Coco likes to rhyme words in sign language. So the gorilla looked after the pet like a baby. Researchers said she played with All Ball for about an hour a day alongside sign language classes. She was reportedly distraught for days after All Ball was killed by a car.
She went into a depression. Oh, they actually had footage of her in a depression. That's when she wrote, "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Dude. I didn't know she was such a history buff. Yeah. Coco was...
These obituaries.
Oh, my God.
You learn
God.
So much about
so much.
Yeah.
Coco was joined by Michael, another Western lowland gorilla, before moving to the Santa Cruz Mountains in 1979, where researchers added gorilla Indumi to the project as well.
Yeah.
And this is right
after All Ball died.
Yeah. Patterson and Cohn were not without criticism for their work with the gorillas. Cohn said some critics believe the animals were simply copying the humans around them without real understanding of language, but they feel that she understood. So, I mean, she wrote this song.
This is no small feat. No, she did use her feet.
And if you're doing it in sign language, yeah, man, it's
fast.
It's fast. Yeah. You got to move.
She actually killed an intern while she was writing this.
Flailing. The foundation maintains Coco has contributed enormously to researchers' understanding of the emotional and cognitive abilities of gorillas. So that's sad news. 46 years old.
Is that about average for a gorilla?
Maybe not in the wild. Yeah,
if you ever read The Life of Pi, they talk about how, you know, animals kept in captivity will live statistically longer.
Sure.
Obviously, because they're not facing off against, you know, prey and other issues. But that's interesting.
Did they ever get her another animal after all?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot, actually, over the years. I mean,
they got her a rhinoceros. This thing should hold up.
No, she had a whole bunch of
Try strangling that.
She had a bunch, Nick?
Mostly kitties over the years, yeah.
All right.
But she had should have been given her a senior citizen.
But there were other gorillas.
This is Flo. My God, it's a gorilla. Just don't charge at it.
Flo, you now belong to Coco.
Coco-like Flo.
Yes. All right. Anyhow, sad news.
You just met up with the gorilla.
Dude, she played guitar.
What? She Maybe did,
she,
yeah.
That's how she wrote
We She Did actually, that's what she composed the song on.
Yeah.
And she did, she taught Steve Vai.
That's a Coco original.
That's it,
original.
That I Coco. Just played for you, yes.
Photograph is one of her.
All right. Yeah, she played bass.
Wow.
I'm serious.
A Rickenbacker, really? Right?
Wow, yeah.
Left-handed, like Paul McCartney.
I didn't know she was a lefty. That's crazy.
I'm Coco the Gorilla.
By the way, Paul released some new music yesterday.
In honor of the death of Coco.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
No, do you want? I haven't heard it yet. Want to hear a little clip of it?
I heard, yes. There's a ballad and a up-tempo rocker.
All right, you want to hear a little bit of that? Let's hear the ballad first.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any of this yet, so don't know.
We'll feel no pain. When I see trouble.
Not enough for me to make a real opinion or
Coco like Coco not like
Coco
say smash Coco say trash
Coco not sure. All right, and then here's the this is Come On to Me, which is a more of an up-tempo,
which is the way the British say something sexual.
Come on to me, yeah.
What? And I wonder if this is the case, because you're dealing with a legendary body of work.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up sort of in a scenario where even something that you might listen to from another artist and go, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You're going to almost over-scrutinize, because that's the guy who wrote Sergeant Pepper's.
And yesterday. Yeah.
And so you almost expect everything to be that. And almost in a way you might slight... I don't. Those are nice. I'm not. Yeah, it's eh.
Listen, you know what? It's like Paul Simon. He said, "Look, my writing music now just isn't relevant to the masses anymore."
He's just trying to take a firm bowel movement.
And same thing with Billy Joel. He doesn't write new music.
That's why he let the gorillas do it.
He lets them. That's right. We didn't start the fire.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a really prolific songwriter, though, like what I think is people tend to get bored of your sound, right? So if you're a really good songwriter, like a Dolly Parton or who's the chick from Four Non-Blondes, Linda Perry, you just start writing songs for other people.
You can become a producer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But even when Paul talks about the Beatles, he talks about them as if it were a different life for him, because it was 50 years ago. And so
he wrote yesterday when he was 23 years old.
Right.
I was doing beer bongs when I was 23 years old. I mean, he's a musical genius. But you're right; it was a lifetime ago.
And the amount of work that was created in a really short amount of time, mostly between him and John, is staggering. But then he went on to have a really successful decade in the 70s and really in the 80s on a pop level too.
When the first Paul McCartney album came out, I loved it, the solo album. And then in a way, I think I sort of slightly bristled at Wings.
You know, like
my dad did too.
Yeah, and I was like, wings. But then I came around and loved, you know, what a lot of what they were doing.
But because it wasn't the Beatles, right?
Exactly.
There was a reaction,
and I was unfairly, and that's why I say with artists like this, where you have a body of work, it's right. the same thing,
right?
You
know? Yeah, it's I think just sort of a visceral emotional reaction that you're no longer going to get new Beatles music,
right?
Right.
Bastards.
Anyway, that's some new stuff from Paul.
Coco's dead.
Then Coco is dead. And it's National Selfie Day.
Coco's dead.
Yeah, she died. You didn't hear?
I didn't hear.
Yes.
She wrote We Didn't Start the Fire.
If you could take a selfie with you and Paul McCartney and Coco's dead body.
Yeah. And Liza Minnelli and Michael Jackson.
The jackpot. All right. We need to take a break, and I would like to give away a case of our beer of the month, Yards Philly Pale Ale Cans. And they've been brewing and bottling right here in Philly since 1994. And now they are canning your favorites like Philly Pale Ale and Brawler just in time for the summer. Caller 18, got a case for you. Pick up Yards Philly Pale Ale cans at yesterday's restaurant bar and liquor store in Marmora. All right, so caller 18, 215-263-WMMR. Going to say, yep, we'll be back in just a moment. And Ryan Hamilton, who's appearing at Punchline Philly tonight and through the weekend, will be with us. Return in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The Onesca is going to be at Punchline tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then he's going to be at the Borgata on July 27th, opening up for Mr. Jerry Seinfeld, of whom he has done shows with before. Please welcome to our show, Ryan Hamilton.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Your first visit to our studio. Have you been to Philadelphia before?
Yeah, I've been here a couple of times before. Okay. Yeah. Right. Cool.
So you're buddies with Tom Papa, who's a good friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. Tom's a good friend of mine.
And
yes.
I saw you tweeted out about his book, which we were just talking about. You're reading his book. I'm reading it as well.
It's so funny.
It's a quick read, but it's yeah. It's very funny. And you both are sort of have been hand selected by comedian royalty Jerry Seinfeld to open. Tom's been doing it for a while. When how long have you been opening for
Not that long. It's been about a year, okay. I guess, maybe, that I've been doing a handful of dates here and there. But I met Jerry. I knew Tom for a long time, but I met Jerry through another comedian named Gad Elmaleh. You know Gad?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so big star in Europe, France, and now has a big American career.
But he's called the French Seinfeld, actually, is what he is. Yeah.
Yes, it's exactly right. And he's an old friend of Jerry's. So I was opening for Gad at Gad's a friend of mine, and I was opening for Gad at Carnegie Hall, and Jerry was there, and that's where he saw me.
Cool.
Yeah, it was cool. So.
So obviously he sees you, but there's a type of comedian. You know, he works clean. You work clean.
Right.
Are you right now in comedy the anomaly? You know, in other words, ready to roll, completely TV friendly from the get-go? I haven't, you know, I watch a lot of stand-up comedians, and I don't know if I've just become immune to noticing it. But I know people do make a big thing when somebody is a completely.
It does seem to be.
Do you know what I'm saying?
More rare.
Yeah.
These days, I don't know why. But yeah, when I do TV, I don't have to change anything. You know, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, all my friends are stressed out, and I go, I don't know, just talking.
Just do it.
Yeah.
You submit your stuff too. Like when you go and go on a show, you have to submit your written version of your stand up, right?
Yeah, and everybody's always stressed out and they're changing things and they got to go to someone else to change something else,
right?
So I feel pretty lucky to be able to just go anywhere.
Yeah. Ryan, those who may not be familiar with you, and obviously you're on radio, so they can't quite see you, but I have read that you describe yourself, and I love this, as a guy who looks like he could be selling ice cream in the 1950s.
Dead on.
Immediately, yes.
The little white hat.
Yeah, Pleasantville.
You know, yeah, exactly. Right out of Pleasantville.
I think the audience told me that's who I was. You know, just over the years, I have a Netflix special called Happy Face.
Okay.
And I say, you know, I look like this, but I don't feel like this. And I've been working on some version of my face for my whole career.
Well, you have a big toothy smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You finished off college. You went to Brigham Young?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you learned to work in a Mormon environment, right?
Right.
Clean environment.
You Mormon? Are you Mormon?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I try to be.
You try to be. It doesn't sound very committed.
It's like a lot of Catholics.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I try.
Sorta.
Yeah. So there you go. So you were ready to go in the working non-blue.
I didn't really make a decision what kind of comedian I wanted to be. It's just kind of how it comes out.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to be authentic to who you are. And there's great comedy across the spectrum, and that's just who I am.
Did you? We were talking about this because I think there was legislation that occurred, Preston, out in Utah, specifically with where drinks are prepared.
Oh, the Zion curtain or the Zion wall. You know, you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
So you can go to a restaurant and you can order drinks. You just can't see them making you drinks.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a Utah thing. Yeah, sure.
Right?
I haven't been there in a long time. I haven't lived there in a long time, but.
So I think it's called a Zion curtain or a Zion wall, and they hide the bartender and all the booze, and it's coming from some mysterious place. And there was a hotel that you could look down from, and you could see behind the curtain, and they had to build like a Zion ceiling or something like that. And they were looking to change the rules on it. I don't know what it is. Who knows? I know that I was, and I've told this story on the air before. I was in Utah. My uncle was sick, and he was in the hospital out there, and I went to go visit, and we were upset because it was serious. So we went to like an Applebee's or something like that. I order a cocktail, I drink it, and I'm like, I want another cocktail. You know, I need a little mood enhancement here.
Right.
I ordered another one, and they cut me off.
Really?
I mean, I wasn't sitting there pounding away. I just ordered a second one, and they were like, whoa. Sorry, pal. But they're funky about their booze in Utah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't drink, so I haven't been, I haven't had that experience, but that sounds like...
Neither do I, and that sounds like a place I get along just fine in, so, yeah.
I'm fine with drinking, but, you know, I haven't done it, and so it's difficult. It's sometimes difficult to be social the other end, too, where, you know, people don't want you around. You know what I mean?
Yes!
Yeah.
They think you're from the Temperance League or something.
Exactly.
Like you're going to talk it. What is that? The demon rum.
Right.
Yeah. I get that sometimes. Like people are they because they know you're going to remain 100% cogent.
Right.
While they descend into madness.
Yeah. And there's kind of this feeling like you're going to remember everything that happens.
Exactly.
You know, we'd rather not take this little black box with us on a disaster that's about to go down.
Like you're a court stenographer.
Exactly.
Yeah, but usually there's a point in the evening where it's like, you know what, I don't belong here anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like you guys have your fun.
Right.
Because I don't want to be here either.
Yes.
You don't want the narc here, and the narc doesn't want to be here.
You know what the difference, though, is?
Yeah.
You're not... often working when you're doing that,
right?
And you are. You're in the comedy club.
That's true.
And so, like,
that's also not true. I mean, most of the time I'm out of the bar, it's for work.
Okay. Well, my point is that Ryan has to deal with those audiences a lot.
And yeah.
Probably every weekend, right?
Yeah, sure. But I don't really mind it too much. But there are strange things that happen. You know, sometimes I don't understand it. Like I'll make plans with someone that is not going to have plans. Like I'll plan a picnic for the next day. You know, that's who I am. And then the next day I wake up, oh, there's no picnic. And there's someone with a 5-digit phone number who's trying to tell me there's no picnic. But I don't mind.
Yeah. Okay, with that. So you now live in New York.
Yes.
Okay. So do you and Tom Papa go?
Papa's in L.A. now, man.
He's in L.A.
He's in L.A. now. Yeah. But when I first got to know Tom, he was in New York. But yeah, I'm from Idaho, so coming to New York is not that smooth of a transition.
So a week ago, my wife was in New York. She took my daughter to see Hamilton, and she was. Is pot recreationally legal up there now? Because she was saying she kept seeing, like, food trucks, but with, like, edibles and stuff like
that. Yeah, I don't know how that works. That's true. It's around there. I guess it's
out and about like that?
They have these trucks that it's like, they have some wording that's very ambiguous.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's some sort of pot cannabis. It's like cannabis or something, they say. I don't smoke pot either, so we're delving into outside of my expertise. But, yeah, I've seen those. I'm not sure what the story is either. But I think you can still get busted smoking pot on the street. So, okay. Yeah.
Everything's become, well, Canada now is just, Trudeau says it, but today they're going to sign in legislation that makes it recreationally legal throughout the entire
Yeah, it seems
coast to coast, right? Yeah, yeah.
It does seem like it's just going that direction.
I don't get. So, you're with Seinfeld.
Yeah,
and we were talking about his Netflix special, which where he sort of chronicled his rise up through comedy. He seems to have a close group of friends. Can you pal around with this Jerry Seinfeld, or are you kept at arm's length?
Oh, he loves to. I mean, when we go on the road, he enjoys all of it. He likes to spend time with comedians, and yeah, he very much likes to hang out and
see his car collection.
I have not seen his car collection. I've been to we hung out occasionally in New York. We'll go to the club and ride or whatever. I've met his family a couple of times here and there. But when we're on the road, you know, we're on the plane and chatting. He's very social. We love to talk comedy. We'll go see a movie. We'll go out to eat. We'll hang out. We'll go for a walk. He has a real routine.
Just like regular people.
Yeah. Sounds like
you guys are dating, actually.
Well, when you're on the road with a comedian, it does kind of feel like that.
Yeah, I'll bet it
does. Yeah,
I watched, and I love the show Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and I watched the one with him and Bill Maher recently. And they're at a place in L.A., and Jerry really seems like he's at a point in his life where he is very comfortable saying, I don't care.
Yeah.
And whatever you think doesn't really matter to me or impact me right now. And I don't think he's usually being too dickish about it. He's just... He is who he is.
Yeah.
He's established that, and he's not trying to please anybody else. He's just sort of doing what he thinks is right, what he thinks is funny.
Right.
And if there's an audience there, and usually there is, he's okay with that. Is that accurate?
I think that's accurate, and who wouldn't want to live like that? I think it's healthy, you know, actually. Do what you want to do. And but he's very open and kind. He talks to people on the street when they come up to him. And but, yeah, I think he's really living life that he wants to live. And he's enjoying it, and he's happy.
So are you single currently?
Or? Yeah.
Okay.
Until the thing with Jerry works out, you know?
It ends up in your act a lot. And so a single guy in New York, is that wonderful or horrific?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, it's so fun. It's such an exciting city. There's so many people to meet. But it's difficult to date because everybody's there for a reason.
Everybody's
very focused on something. So building an actual relationship can be pretty tough, especially when you're gone all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet it would be. I mean, you think of so many people there, but there's too many people to... You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, where do you start?
Yeah.
Like this paradox of choice. You just go, but I don't know.
Would you do the app thing or the...
I tried that a little bit. I tried Bumble and Tinder and all these location-based dating apps, which are so strange to me. We just have this attitude now, like... whoever's around, that's who we're interested in. You know, just who's closest. It's just like we set a parameter, like outside. Who's your type? Just people near me. You know, it's just very strange to me. And it didn't work out for me. Really, I met some people. I met some friends, but I decided that for me, I'd rather just meet people in life. And it seems to be more efficient, even
at a comedy club or something. Would
well,
you,
look,
would you ever? If, like, an audience member, or, you know?
I am not being successful as a dater, so these are things that I need to change, apparently.
Okay.
But, yeah, you know, I meet people at shows mostly. That's how that's where I live my life.
Right.
And that's where I meet people. But I'm trying to get outside of that, actually, and have people who are in my life that I'm not meeting just through comedy.
Where do you go when you do that, though? That's the question. I mean, if you're not, you know, you're not having success with the... With the apps or the your work, what do you do? Do you join a skydiving club or?
I find that, like, I don't know. You have friends. You meet friends of friends. That's how it works to me.
All right,
you know. I don't know. Look, I'm alone a lot.
It's not going well. You're the edgy loner.
Yeah. I'm alone all the time. That's okay.
You're Travis Bickle, but just a much more, a nicer version. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's your favorite place to find material, inspiration? Is it watching TV? Is it going out and mingling with people? Is it where do you get it?
Man, I... I don't know. It seems to be from things that I'm trying out in my life, you know, like
new things.
Yeah. Like okay. Right now I'm trying to give up sugar, for instance.
Oh. How's that going?
Things that make me, I don't think you can do it. I think people say they can do it, which means they have two problems, that they're still on sugar and they're liars, yeah. You know, basically. Yeah. I think you're always going to have, but I watch these documentaries that get me so, you know. Now, like a documentary's gospel, you get halfway through and you go, that's the new me right yeah. there. I don't need to watch the end of this thing. I knew I shouldn't have got into that dolphin business from the get-go. You know, but these guys confirm it all. Yeah. And then you get all amped up. So it's kind of like that. I think my stuff comes from whatever I'm thinking about, whatever I'm going through. You know?
What are some new things that you've tried that aren't new anymore, but like a new adventure or a new, just an avenue of excitement of some sort? Are there traveling or
yeah, you know, well, like working with Seinfeld now, I feel like I I've kind of gotten a place where I'm not really famous, but I have famous friends around.
Okay.
You know, and I've been
is that
out
good?
With them.
Is that the best scenario actually?
It's
because
great.
The fame isn't it's not your job. They handle the super famousness,
right.
And you get the benefit.
It's kind of nice. Everybody's always getting recognized, though, and I'm not, you know.
Who do they think you are? Do they think you're like an assistant?
Yes, I get that. Like I did this show that was crazy, this crazy lineup in New York at the Comedy Cellar. Seinfeld was on it. Amy Schumer was on it. Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle. It was like a big show. Aziz, I'm sorry. I think, and it got a lot of press.
Yeah.
But someone posted the lineup of the show, and I was the only guy that nobody knew. So I started getting calls from press, and like my social media was going crazy, like, who's this guy? You know? And sometimes, like I was out and I got recognized, and I was thinking, I was with some of my famous friends, and I think, okay, this is going to be, I'm going to show them. And the guy goes, I know you from Google.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, that's weird. And then
I know you're from Google.
Yeah, and he goes, my name's also Ryan Hamilton. And every time I Google my name, your face.
Oh my god!
And then I'm looking at the guy, and I go, wait a minute, are you that wedding photographer from Sacramento? Because I Google my name too. You know what I mean? Like, so to me, that's who I am. You know.
Well, you have a name, Ryan Hamilton, that I don't mean this in an offensive way, but it's kind of like a generic name. Like,
yes, very much.
You could be the first baseman for the Texas Rangers.
Yes.
You could be a tennis player, a golfer.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem when you're trying to have a career that's in the public eye.
Yeah.
Especially in this world that we live in, because I can't get my name for anything.
But it also sounds vaguely familiar. Like, if I saw you on that list of comedians, right. I'd be like, I know Ryan.
Oh, he's on the bill.
Yeah.
He's on the bill.
I know Ryan Hamilton, even if I had no idea who.
That's true.
Did you ever consider ethnicking it up a bit, like Rico Hamilton?
I'm open to that.
Yeah,
I mean, let's see what sticks.
not in your deal. So what do you do for? But if you're not dating and you're out and working all the time, what do you do for downtime? What do you do? What keeps you going?
Oh, I don't know. Downtime. I'm always working. There isn't a lot of it. I'm pretty.
You're describing a pretty sad.
Isn't it? But it's okay. I love what I do.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I love what I do. I miss the outdoors. I miss things like that. Growing up where I grew up, you know, I'm from this town of 1,000 people in Idaho. So this is a different thing for me. So I'm
mostly potato farmers, right?
Yeah, potato farmers. My family doesn't understand where I'm from. So I think about escaping a lot.
Yeah.
I love where I'm at, but I love to be out in the mountains, and I'll just go sit in the park, you know, and just kind of soak in whatever greenery is around me. And go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You make Bob Newhart look like Charles Bronson.
Don't get me wrong. I love New York, but it really took me years to feel comfortable there, you know? And
oh,
now,
I'm sure.
You know, I call my family, and I don't know. I'd be like, yeah, how was your day? Well, I saw a guy smoking crack on the train today. What do you think of that, Mom? And my mom will say something like, well, you know, we had a moose in the yard today. So it's just where I'm coming from, where
What's
I live.
More dangerous?
Were you,
it's a good point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you have a scene like Tom Hanks in Big where you were, you know, crying in the room?
That first night in the city.
Oh, man. Yeah. I lived in some weird apartments. You do what you got to do. But I was doing comedy full time.
You went to Boston and Seattle, right?
Yeah. I lived in. Yeah. And so it was like I had a, you know, and a good exposure to comedy, but New York was an adjustment for me. But to me, it was a romantic adventure. I wanted to see if I could make it in New York.
Right.
That was part of it.
But you believe that you can make it everywhere, but you couldn't make it in your hometown, right?
Right. Well, I feel like New Yorkers always have this thing, like, if you can make it here, you can make it in. But I think that's, like, I don't think New Yorkers could make it in my town in Idaho.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think they would show up and be like, how do you live here? They would die. You know, it's dangerous. Yeah. They're going to wander off, get lost, and never come home.
Right.
You know, I do think that. But New York's not easy.
What's the crime rate what is the name of your town? It's Ashton?
Ashton, Idaho. Yeah, yeah. That's right. The crime rate? I don't know. I guess everybody knows when there's a crime.
It's one of those towns that appears in a Dateline special.
Yeah. Off the map.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love being there.
Nice. Well, we're happy to have you in Philly. And Punchline is where you're performing. And there's a show tonight, two shows tomorrow and Saturday as well. And tickets are $25. So I want to make sure people get their opportunity to grab those through punchlinephilly.com. And then don't forget, back in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
On the 27th at the Borgata with Mr. Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Anybody else on that bill or just you two?
So far, I think it's just the two of us.
That's awesome. No one knows you, but they'll know Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
But they do know you now because you look like that photographer.
I got that name.
That's right.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, Ryan, enjoy your weekend in Philly.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Ryan Hamilton, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
PunchlinePhilly.com. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Judy Kim in The Assassination. But I know it's okay, 'cause we're here, celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. 'Cause it's love. Judy Kim in The Assassination, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
I have just a couple of minutes before the Bizarre File, so I would like to do a couple shout-outs.
Yeah.
All right. Let me dig back in. I have a pile of these, and I want to make sure I get to some that have been sitting for a little while. Says here, hey, could you do a shout out to my husband? Shout out to my husband, Mark Lauer, on Tuesday, June 19th.
Mark Lauer.
I don't know if there's any relation. It's our 25th wedding anniversary. Yikes, we've been through a lot in those 25 years, 31 together total. Mark is my best friend. He makes me laugh, is witty, and is always happy, although that can be infuriating sometimes. Hopefully you can do this on the 19th. Sorry, can't, Gail, but we'll do it now.
Shout out. Here we go.
Congratulations to you, the Lauers. Here's another one. It says, to the esteemed members of the River Valley Vocal Band.
Yeah, that would be us.
That's us.
For the past year, my amazing girlfriend Genevieve has been working nonstop, putting herself through, cosmetology school.
She could be an astronaut.
No, she's not going to be an astronaut.
Yep.
Cosmetology school and microblading classes.
Yes, that's what Ashley Gallo does, right?
Working on top of that. And she finally finished both last week and this week as she starts her job hunt. She's also celebrating her birthday on June 15th. See how good I am with these folks?
It's excellent.
I'm several days late. We're both big fans and would like to request for her not one of your angelic five-part harmonies, but rather a nice sloppy shard out. She loves the show so much that nothing I could get for her birthday would compare with the sound of a cotton coating shart. I love her and I'm so proud of everything she does. So that is from, it says Benadryl and Tickles, Doug R. So he signed it.
Oh, jeez.
So that's a shout out for you, Genevieve. And thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. Hey, Preston, name is Dave Gilbert. Emailing you in hopes that you can send out a big sneaky shout out to Jim Freeze, Jim's rookie director, at Montgomery Count Quarter Midget Racing Club in Phoenixville. Over the past 5 weeks, guys, taken it.
Midget race cars?
Has taken it. Yeah, this is. Yeah,
not just midgets. A bunch of little people running around.
Yeah. Has taken it on himself to teach not only my son, but 33 other rookie quarter midget drivers, ages 4.5 to 14 years, the ins and outs of racing safety.
It was tough out there on the track, but a little slick. I didn't anticipate that.
It's safety to go along with it.
It was great.
He works long hours, getting there before us and after, so the track is cleaned up and so on. We have rookie school graduation tonight. This was, I got this back on May 1st, by the way.
Tonight?
Yeah.
It's probably still going on.
So here's a shout out, that is for Jim Freeze, from Dave Gilbert. So at least I got it out there.
They collect up. It's tough. You can't get through all of them.
You want one from April?
Yeah, let's go back to April.
Hey, today's my wife's birthday. Avid fan, faithful listener. She listens every podcast in order, even if she gets behind on a few. And this would be put a huge smile on her face and certainly would be talked about to everyone she knows. Happy birthday to Marissa Hunsberger from her husband, Tim. So here you go. Hey, it's like having a second birthday, man.
It is, absolutely.
It's April 25th, and now you're celebrating a couple months later.
In a way, it's like a surprise party because no one would expect to get a birthday wish in June.
Nope.
When your birthday's in April.
All right, and then you know what I'll do?
20 more.
No, not 20 more. There was one. Did I miss it? There was a charity event. No, I did hit that. Okay. Here's what I got today. How about
that? Today.
Oh. I have more, but I'm going to skip to the to the top just because this is top of my list. This.
I'm excited about going to Live Aid.
No.
Oh.
How about this? Okay. So it says, hey, my name is Cole. I normally wouldn't do this, but I had to let you guys know. No, I'm sorry. I was making sure it's a shout out.
Is that just you saying that?
I had to let you guys know what you've done for me the last 2 weeks. I was hoping to get a shout out. I have been on the West Coast now for a little over 2 weeks. I'm currently staying right outside of Yosemite. I've been using your podcast to keep myself busy as I've now traveled close to 1,500 miles.
Wow.
From Seattle, Washington. It's not 1,500 miles to...
He looped around.
He must have looped around.
If you get lost.
Oh, here he goes. I started out in Boston, flew to Seattle, saw some sights, drove to Mount Rainier, and this last Monday started my small road trip. Okay, so the flying part of it was 1,500.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. That's a couple hours. I thought he drove the whole thing. Anyway.
Maybe he's a pilot.
I've driven along the Oregon coast, seen Multnomah Falls.
Oh, Multnomah Falls, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
It's really gorgeous. It's a landmark out west.
Okay.
I forget what state.
Multnomah Falls, Crater Lake, Lake Tahoe, and tomorrow I'll spend some time in Yosemite. And I'm hoping either to see Sequoias a little south from here or go to San Francisco before I get back to Seattle. I've been dreaming about being out west and experiencing seeing sights that I only saw pictures of. And it's been a once-in-a-lifetime trip. You guys at MMR have made it easy through your podcast, keeping me laughing. I am a diehard fan.
Aww.
See you back on the East Coast. That is Cole David Heiser. So here's your chart. And there you go, sir. Enjoy your time out west.
Multnomah's in Oregon on the Columbia River Gorge.
Okay.
Tallest waterfall in Oregon.
So, wow. That is beautiful. We're looking at pictures.
That is a big waterfall.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
The bridge.
It's photographed a lot.
Absolutely. Okay. Cool, man. All right. Well, enjoy. Now we can do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? Saw a video that showed some of you guys here in the studio. Yet a man accidentally shot himself in the groin while bending over. The one-minute clip sees a man expertly load a Glock, then holster the handgun inside the front of his pants. Stevie just sticks it right down into his waistband. He walks over to a shelf, bends down to pick something up, and then bang, the gun fires, and the man jolts up and screams in pain as the gun fired into his groin. He screamed, F, damn it, call 911 right now. He clutches onto to his belt with a grimace reeling after the close shot. He swiftly takes off his belt and removes the gun's magazine from inside of his pants.
Oh, my balls!
A man in the room then whips out a phone and calls for help. A woman rushes to his side and brings out what appears to be a medical tape.
Oh, my balls!
Where are you shot?
Oh, my balls!
Oh, he said, I don't know.
Oh, my balls!
Sometimes it cracks me up.
It just does.
It sounds great.
You never get tired of hearing happy birthday and that.
The bullet penetrated the victim's groin in a through and through wound. He's reported.
Oh, my balls!
It's reportedly in stable condition. The video has gone viral with 100,000
To stick it down the front?
I don't know.
I could see down the back, maybe, even then. It's stupid.
Steve, he loads, he puts the magazine, and then he racks it, and then he sticks it in. God. I'm like, you're just asking to be shot, dude.
Oh, my balls.
Oh, my balls.
His reaction, though, Steve?
What?
Well, not that, but his, like, his body reaction. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It looks like he sharted.
Yeah.
You know, because he's kind of bent over, and then he, oh my God, oops.
Yeah.
All right, moving along, a billionaire investor is being accused of resorting to some very juvenile tactics after being forced to hand his wife the keys to their $20 million marital home following their divorce. A declaration filed by Sue Gross describes the state of the Laguna Beach home she previously shared with her ex-husband Bill Gross when she moved in after the couple's divorce settlement had been finalized. Gross claims that her ex sprayed noxious scents around the home and even crammed dead fish in its air vents.
Wow.
Making her life an unmitigated nightmare for the past few months. Gross submitted the declaration in hopes of obtaining a restraining order against her ex, which she was later granted. She says that her ex is a cruel, vengeful, and vindictive man who, with practically limitless financial resources, said, when I was finally able to obtain access to the house, I was disgusted to see the Bill had left it in a state of utter chaos and despair. I found empty spray bottles of, quote, puke smell and, quote, fart smell. He was using
liquid ass. Yeah.
In the garden.
Why would you divorce someone as wonderful as that?
The houseplant smelled foul and had to be replaced. The carpets were stained and there was water damage throughout the house. One of a kind art installation piece had been dismantled and removed. The remote controls from the televisions and drapes and other technology were all missing. The declaration then claims that there were also some things left behind after Bill left the home. There were balls of human hair in the drawers.
Oh, my God.
And she said, I even found dead fish and dirt stuffed into the air vents. Gross also claims that she had been fighting with her ex to comply with the judge's ruling as it pertained to dividing assets as recently as March and accused him of stalking her sister around the clock because he could no longer gain entry to their former home, which is in a gated community. Says that prior to moving into the Laguna Beach property, her ex had a guard stationed at her previous address at all times and claims the guards videotaped her, her siblings, and even the children and grandchildren. The couple's divorce was finalized last October. Marking the end of its 21-year union.
Jeez.
In addition to the property in Laguna Beach, Gross also got some of the couple's art collection, including Picasso's Le Ripos. It was later revealed, though, that she had been in possession of the artwork for months, having forged a copy and hung it in place of the original at the couple's home when they first split.
Wow.
This is just a lovely, lovely little union these
two deserve have. Each other, then.
They do. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file this morning. We got to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, but not before I give you some beverages. I have more beer to give away. We'll take caller number 25. I'll give you a case of Yards Philly Pale Ale cans. They've been brewing and bottling right here in Philly since 1994. Now they're canning your favorites like Philly Pale Ale and Brawler just in time for summer. So pick up Yards Philly Pale Ale cans at Boulevard Super Liquors in Memora. So call right now, number 25. You get the beer. We'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve. On 93.3
WMMR. We do have, and by the way, Steve, tonight for the at the Moshula, it's going to be perfect.
It's going to be glorious. We're looking forward to a good event.
Sunshine, and it's later in the evening, so it'll be right there on the river. It's going
to
be gorgeous.
6 to 9, yeah. There's a couple different things going on. We're looking good.
You sold out? Or?
I think we're close to sold out, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, but thanks. Yeah, and everyone who's attending, you know, we're looking forward to seeing you tonight.
Nice. Let me see. Lesson question. That's what we're going to do next. We're going to give away a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. And let's see if we can get an answer to a question. Right after the kitty All Ball died, what song did Coco the Gorilla write? 215-263-WMMR. Okay, right after the kitty All Ball died, what song did Coco the Gorilla write? If you're listening, you ought to know, 215-263-WMMR. And if that's the case, give us a call. We'll see if you can win. We're going to do the trash while you're getting in touch with us.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Enjoy happy hour specials and visit GodScruples.com for more information. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Grey's Anatomy star Jesse Williams' divorce from Aaron Drake Lee will end up costing him $100,000 a month in alimony and child support. Williams says he believes a man has to do what's right when he wants to finger blast Minka Kelly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Black China and her much, much younger boyfriend, rapper YBN Almighty J, have gone their separate ways. Black China says though the age difference was mostly not an issue, she did get tired of having to make him spit out chalk.
Oh, my God.
Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom actress Daniela Penenda, who plays Dr. Zia Rodriguez, admitting to being a bit upset. A scene revealing her as a lesbian was cut from the movie. Apparently, the scene was deemed too graphic and involved her and a female intern pleasuring themselves on top of a triceratops. Oh. That's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we shall see if you have the answer to this question. Right after the Kitty All Ball died, what song did Coco the Gorilla write? And first caller in was Sean, so that's who I'm going to go to. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Hey, I got Zooks, guys.
Yeah, Zooks. So what song did Coco the Gorilla write after All Ball died?
That would be We Didn't Start the Fire.
You got it.
Yeah! Yeah.
And hang on the line. Since you got that right, my friend, we are going to set you up with... we have a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card, and you can grab the new Rita's Party Pack, perfect for graduations, birthday, and office parties. And family barbecues, you can get a free insulated cooler bag with a purchase of 6 quarts of Rita's water, ice, or more. Let's do the music news, shall we?
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
And it's brought to you by Dietz and Watts, some real Philly deli. Congratulations to Linden Italian Market in the Northeast, winner of the 2018 Dietz and Watts Real Philly Deli Face-Off. They're the ones who took it.
Awesome!
Linden Italian Market. And you can stop by and try their winning sandwich, the Linden Club. That's the one that won it. Bad Wolves have presented a check for $250,000 to the family of late Cranberry singer Dolores O'Riordan. The band scored a massive hit with its cover of the Cranberries' hit Zombie, for which O'Riordan was slated to record vocals on the day that she died in a London hotel this past January.
Wow.
The band decided to release the song in honor, with all proceeds going to her children.
It's a good version.
Yeah. Bad Wolves, I'm curious as to what it would have sounded like with her.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't sure if she was going to do a harmony part or if they're going to have her take one of the verses or not, but I would really love to have heard that. It's sad.
Maybe,
still.
Mom, I don't know. You know what this, they can do a lot.
They could take the original recording probably and make it work, but they wanted to keep it the way it was. The band made good on its promise by inviting O'Riordan's family on stage Tuesday night in New York's Gramercy Theater. And they presented them with a $250,000 check. O'Riordan's two sons, Donnie Jr. and Taylor Burton, alongside their father, Don Burton, were on hand to receive the gift, which O'Riordan accepted on behalf of their younger sisters, Molly and Dakota Burton. Tommy had said the ultimate goal is to present them with a $1 million check. And the fact that we're a quarter of the way there is beyond incredible. He said it's a true testament to the timelessness of their mother's songwriting that will live on forever. And we are so grateful to be able to do this for them. The song, their versions of Zombie, can be found on Bad Wolves' debut album, Disobey, which arrived earlier this spring. Ghost frontman Tobias Forge says that he already has an idea in mind for the band's next studio album, saying, I know what we're going to do next time. Yes, and it will be a work in progress up until that day that I master the album, but I know where the story sort of goes, and with simple mathematics of how a tour cycle usually pans out, I think we have a 5-year plan. 5 years?
5 years?
Wow. Maybe he means with the tour in, after it as well, which can last
for a
year or two.
Because that's a little much.
He added, then I have another project at the end of that tunnel that might or might not materialize. It's a little bit of a side thing that takes a ton of collaboration and many stars aligning. And that's been in the works for years. So we'll see what happens. Hey, this is unfortunate. We had mentioned Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker had some issues. He was readmitted to a Los Angeles hospital on Tuesday morning after being released on Monday night. According to TMZ, Barker is now battling a staph infection and cellulitis, an infection of the skin, in addition to blood clots in his arms that were the original reason for his first trip to the hospital.
You had MRSA.
I did.
Right?
Yeah, I had a
staph infection.
Yeah, it wasn't. Staph infections can get real bad.
That's why, you know, like with Dr. Mike and everything, you know, the hospitals, you know, they try to get you out quickly.
These are hard to get rid of, too.
Yeah, it can happen. They can linger. Doctors are said to be monitoring Barker to see how he responds to blood thinners
and to make sure the clots don't travel to his heart or lungs. Sources say the drummer is keeping a positive attitude. Yeah, mine was a, I forgot how they categorized it. It was a resistant infection. Yeah. It like there weren't any. We had to go through several different antibiotics before we found the one that took care of it.
I remember that point in time. You were we were in the old studio, and you were resting your arm up on a pillow.
Yeah. It hurt so much. I couldn't even bring my arm all the way down. It hurt so much.
Jesus.
It says here that it was revealed last week that he had been diagnosed with clots in each of his arms. And then Blink-182 subsequently postponed last weekend's Las Vegas residency shows and have now shelved several upcoming dates there as well. The statement on Tuesday read, Barker has been ordered the doctors refrain from any activity that may cause further damage or cause the clots to travel. As it stands now, he'll be prevented from playing until the beginning of July when everything will be reevaluated. So I hope nothing but the best for him. I hope, hope that's going to run its course and we'll be rid of it. Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea has put his home in the Los Feliz area of Los Angeles, California, on the market. It's $2.997 million bucks, $3 million. Flea, whose real name is Michael Balzary, and his wife, model Frankie Rader, bought the house less than 4 years ago for $2.47 million. The gated corner property was built in 1939, has a double foyer, large bay windows in the living room, formal dining room, and cook's kitchen with high-end appliances.
Sounds like a real dump.
Along with a covered patio with built-in barbecue, a wood-paneled den with fireplace, a guest suite, three bedrooms, an office, a pool, and spa, all surrounded by lush gardens.
It's funny, you know, you'll see these rockers on stage, and they're all tatted up and so on and so forth. And their homes are these regal, you know, estates.
Flea and his wife still own a Malibu compound that they purchased in 2006 for $10 million.
Malibu compound.
Yeah, I know, right? Those words.
Jesus.
Flea had also previously owned another property in the Griffith Park area, selling that estate in 2014 for $6 million. He has set a title and publication date earlier this year for his long-awaited memoir titled Acid for the Children. The book is set to arrive on shelves September 25th. It'll detail aspects of Flea's life and career, such as his bohemian childhood, his young rebellious life on the streets of L.A., his experience with hard drugs, and the formation and creative journey of the Chili Peppers themselves.
I've always wondered when you're very wealthy and you have multiple houses, like Oprah bought this house. I think I sent you guys pictures out of it.
Yeah.
You know, how often is she there?
Yeah. When do you go and
use it?
There?
Is it just to have the real estate?
Or you can let friends stay
friends
there.
Friends stay there? Yeah. Well, you know,
I think they bounce around.
Houses just sit there unused constantly?
Ultimately, there probably are some that go unused.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. You know, when you have that much money, when it's FU money, if you want a house in Costa Rica, you want a house in Stone Harbor, just buy one. But when you're there, you can go.
But Flea's got three in the LA area. So,
yeah.
But, dude, if you've got that much money and traffic the way it is around there, if you've got to do some work across town,
just go stay there.
We'll stay at the West Estate. Yeah.
But what if you're a thin mint or at the one house?
Oh, man. Well, then you have a drone fly back to the other place.
Exactly.
Yeah. Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda made his solo TV debut Tuesday night on The Tonight Show, performing his new single Crossing a Line alongside house band The Roots. Song appears on Shinoda's new solo album. Shania Twain's new album. It's odd that Mike Shinoda's song is ending up on Shania Twain's album.
They're close friends.
Post-Traumatic, which arrived last Friday. Shinoda is touring throughout the summer. Now, speaking of TV performances, Foo Fighters are scheduled to perform on CBS TV's The Late Late Show with James Corden tonight.
Huh.
The episode will also see the new edition of Carpool Karaoke with Paul McCartney that we teased. But it comes during a week of programs that see Corden hosting the show at Central Hall, Westminster in London. So they're overseas right now for that.
And I believe by the accent, that's where he's from.
England. Is indeed from England. And then, Casey, I think we didn't get a chance to play a clip from this earlier this week. Chris Cornell and his daughter, Tori, had a duet of the song of the Prince classic, Nothing Compares to You. Obviously, she put her vocal part in, I think, after he passed away. Right?
Or they might have recorded
maybe
prior.
They did it before he died.
Obviously, prior to his death.
So his daughter, Tony, officially released it, and proceeds are going to charity. We'll play a little clip of it, and I'll tell you more about this. So. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see obviously she's in the forefront of that that song Chris doing some of the backup vocals.
Got a great voice.
She shared the track via social media on Father's Day and has now released it to digital retailers and streaming services. She'll donate proceeds to the International Rescue Committee, saying, "My father taught me to be a voice for others who don't have one, especially with the tragic events happening today where children are being separated from their parents at the border. It's not okay. Please help us keep this promise on behalf of the world's most vulnerable children for my father." So she's released that. And that is all I have in music news for you this morning, friends. We have one more break to take, so let's do that very thing. Don't forget a trip to Paris. We are going to give that away tomorrow. You're so close. We'll get that next letter when we get back. Stay with us. Back in a moment.
Whether social...
Hey, welcome in.
...or antisocial...
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
So let me see here. We're getting ready to wrap stuff up. We have to thank our guest today, Ryan Hamilton, who's going to be at Punchline Philly tonight. 8 o'clock, two shows on Friday and Saturday. You can go to punchlinephilly.com for more information. And let's see here. I need to mention there's a new Daily Rush video. And the title is Casey Thinks Fish Played at the Royal Wedding. So Casey sees a deep fake, but it ain't that deep is the description. Watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly. Hey, we're just talking about that. Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So thank you, and check out the video when you get a chance. And also thank you in advance for the Delaware County questions that are coming in. More if we can get them. We have extensive amounts of Bucksco material, and we need more from Delaware County. And, well, I don't even want to.
You don't want to go there?
Well, I get some of these, and I try to stay away from not tipping a hand or anything, but this place used to be here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
There's a lot of those. You know, where the, and that doesn't mean that we won't use them all, but try to steer away from, you know where the new Target is? What used to be there? You know, so.
Right. Those are vague. And
they can be vague.
And we already know that it's Robertson Clothier.
I mean, think about Jeopardy and like what an actual answer would be and an actual question would be. Obviously, it's in reverse in Jeopardy, but you need to frame it in a way that would be good for the radio and be good. You know, so there has to be a definitive question and a definitive answer so that there's not as much bitching as there was 5 years ago.
You realize you're asking Delco residents to do this right now.
Oh.
That's what it's going
Casey
to be like.
Doesn't take the bait. You notice this? She's just having fun with you, man.
I know.
He gets genuinely angry.
What do you want me to say? I don't know what to say.
All right.
Listen.
His answer's going to be in a winning score.
It's right. Yeah, it's right.
That's right, man.
Yeah. All right. So here's what we need. You can send your questions with answers to delco@wmmr.com. That's delco@WMMR.
We have a sponsor, by the way. It's sponsored by Halfway Houses of Bucks County.
You mean Recovery Centers of America, Casey?
All right, wow. So
it's different.
All right, so
I have a question.
I need some more questions. Yes, you do.
Where do babies come from?
There you go.
Yo.
It's a little vague.
Dude.
Jesus, as my mom told me.
That conversation is going to happen sooner rather than later with my son because he's been asking questions.
Really?
Like, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes, and most recently at the dinner table.
Is it time for Uncle Steve to visit?
No, but I got to figure out. Listen, I don't.
I'll bring my PowerPoint presentation.
I mean, I have to be like straight up with it. You know what I mean? I can't like. There's no dancing around it or whatever.
Well, no. Yeah, but but if you were dancing while you said it, it would help soften the blow.
That would help. Yeah.
No, you owe it. You owe it to your children to give them the real deal.
Yeah,
and tell them exactly what it's all about.
Stork.
The stork.
Yes.
Tell them the stork story, please. But no, I had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not necessarily comfortable, but you get, it's like ripping the Band-Aid off. And once you get to it, it's a little easier to talk about. Do you guys use anatomically correct terms?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes, we
do. You don't use Jick-Jill?
No, we don't say Jick-Jill or Pajanger.
Right.
Yeah.
No?
Nope. All right. Well, then good. You're already part of the
way there. We're halfway there.
So it should be no problem. Let us know when you have that conversation because I want to hear how
we want to record it.
Okay. Yeah, you want me to record it?
I want to be in the other room.
When my dad had it with me,
It was about 25 seconds, and it was, you know, well, you probably thought about things, and, you know, I thought about them, too.
There you go. Enough said.
That's very helpful. As much as I wanted to really hear from him, though, as well.
Right.
So.
Casey, somebody texted and said, ex-hamster will clear that right up for
him. That's right. They have a whole children's section.
Oh, my God. No, they don't.
It's a porn site.
All right. How you doing, man?
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Just came from Ocean City.
Oh!
Yeah, I went down to see the Hooters last night at Ocean City Music Pier, spent the night down there, and drove up this morning and enjoyed the drive and listening to you kids. And it was a great show last night.
You never miss a show that they have.
Well, I missed Tuesday night, but that was because I was at Roger Daltrey.
Okay. How was that?
Oh, my God. Yeah? Daltrey doing Tommy with a symphony orchestra behind him. It was magnificent.
That's great.
It may be the under-the-radar show of the year.
Really?
You know, so many other shows have gotten so much attention,
yes,
whether it be U2 or any number of other giant things. And it was over-the-top brilliant. First of all, the man is amazing going to see any show there. But with that symphony orchestra behind him and doing all of Tommy, and then the encores were just two songs. And he's also got a new album out, and he did a song from that. But during Bob O'Reilly, there was this lady, and I forget her name. She did that ending part that's kind of like...
Oh, the fiddle?
The fiddle.
Yeah.
And she did it with this electric violin, and she's from Philly, but she's on the entire tour. But she did it live, and it was stunning to see.
Wow.
Really, really cool.
Cool.
Nice. So it may have been the underrated show of the year. I don't know. We'll see.
Nice.
Halfway through the year. But Hoots were amazing, as they always are.
Cool. All right, why don't we, people waiting on this letter, you ready to get that thing?
Yeah.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
Z is in Zippy Canoe and Tyler, too.
Yes, we have a trip to
not
Paris.
Quite right, but yeah, it's close enough.
Z, we have a, what's that?
Zappa Zappa Cool, man.
Yeah. That's better. All right, a trip to Paris for the premiere of Mission Impossible Fallout, including two round-trip airline tickets, three-night hotel stay, two hop-on, hop-off tour, bus tour, and boat ride passes in admission to two of the premiere screenings. No, yeah, for two.
Yeah, yes!
I'm sorry, let me try this again. Admission for two to the premiere screening of July 12th's Mission Impossible Fallout. I didn't mean you go to two premieres. Two people if you go to the premiere.
You're ridiculous.
That's going to hit theaters nationwide on July 27th. So that's what we're giving away, and we're doing that tomorrow. And what's up for today's program, man?
What an amazing prize.
It is.
Isn't it,
I mean,
trip to France.
You know, it just, you guys have so many great ones, but... You know, stop for a moment and think about the fact that somebody tomorrow, by virtue of knowing this word, is going to go to Paris, not just, you know, to California, which is an awesome trip, and you've given a number of those away, but you're giving someone a trip to blank in Paris.
The City of Lights.
I know. And you know, and
Fromage.
I thought it was Trenton, you know, which is also a city of smaller lights.
Yes, yes. They do indeed have lights.
Yeah, they've got lights. Yeah.
The City of Stoplights.
Stoplights. Yeah. A lot of stoplights. Well said, sir.
Thank you.
Anyway. It's an amazing gift, prize, and all of that cool stuff. So we're going to have cool time today on the cool station, and it'll be cool.
Cool time today on the cool station.
On the cool station with the cool boss with the hot sauce. it'll have the archive selection, and it's going to be from your program when OK Go came in and did Here It Goes Again.
Oh, cool.
Ah,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And that's the song that really jolted them into the public consciousness with the brilliant video of them on the exercise machines on the treadmills. And ever since then, they've made continuing great videos, if you ever see their videos, for any given song.
They're almost more known for their videos that happen to have catchy songs attached to them.
Yeah. They've gone over the top with some of their videos since then. But they came in and played that song on your show, and it sounded amazing. So we'll have that as the archive feature around 1:30. We've got a lot of things happening. We've got Saturday night, the combination of Foreigner and Whitesnake and Jason Bonham and his Led Zeppelin Evening, now called his Led Zeppelin Evening, over in Camden. So we'll do a combined block of those bands. We've got the Dropkick Murphys and Flogging Molly at Festival Pier tonight, which we will do. And it happens to be Raymond Douglas Davis's birthday today. He says Davis. Most of the world says Davies. Ray Davies of the Kinks is 74. We'll do Workforce Block of the Kinks. And that'll be fun. And later tonight, I'm going to go visit Steve on the Moshaloo.
Yes. Thank you for coming down.
Such a great cause for the MAC Fund. I'm looking really forward to it.
And thank you for helping me promote it. Should be a fun time. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Excellent. Well, let me take a moment to thank some sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. It's been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Turnersville Auto Complex. Shop Audi Turnersville, South Jersey's top certified pre-owned dealer, online at AudiTurnersville.com. Tomorrow on the program, our good friend Greg Fitzsimmons will be joining us. He's not going to be in town early enough to be in the studio, but he is going to give us a call. And he's in town in Philly over the weekend. Great stand-up comedian. So we'll talk to him and give away this trip to Paris and do other things, too. So that's it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. And we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
If you are a grown-ass man and you tattle on a 28-year-old woman to her father about what she posts online, you, good sir, are a
Next message.
Every year I go to the Camp Out for Hunger and get a Preston and Steve totally office calendar. And every month I faithfully change the page to look at the next gorgeous woman. But then June happened. And Gia, oh, mystery of life, at last I found you. It's going to stay June in my house for the rest of the year.
Next message.
I deliver to a company, and they have do not park in the loading dock. And what do these lazy do? Who in the loading dock? I need on my lunch hour. Don't park in the loading dock. Oh!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.